Good afternoon, I'm Isaiah Jacob. Last night, the CBJ dropped their fifth game in a row as they attempt to push for the playoffs. It was Carolina beating the Jaguars 5-1, pushing them into a three-way tie for the final wildcard spot. They look to end the losing streak tomorrow at 7 when they host Winnipeg. The Cleveland Cavaliers, on the other hand, clinched a top 6 seed in the NBA playoffs last night. They got a 118-111 win against the Golden State Warriors. This will guarantee the Cavs will not participate in the play-in tournament. Tonight at Historic Crew Stadium, the Columbus Aviators have their first home game of the inaugural season against the D.C. Defenders at 8 p.m. And then in baseball, the Columbus Clippers have won 5 in a row. They host Indianapolis at 6:15. In MLB action, the Guardians begin a 3-game home series against the Chicago Cubs at 4:10. And the Reds on at 4:05 against the Rangers. This update is sponsored by Care Heating and Cooling. When you need a company you can trust, call 1-800-COOLING.
It's time to add some spice to your nooner. Nooner. Funny. This is the place where big-time guests, bold opinions, and little cute doggies come together. This is Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by Pella Columbus, the number one rated windows and doors in Columbus.
So where's the office back at Division? In the office, baby. Going out.
All right, here we go. Rothman and Ice, Anthony Rothman, Matty Ice Hayes, the loose cannon behind the glass. Good to see you, fellas.
What up, what up? It is good to see you as well, big dog. How you feeling today? It's Friday, man. We almost made it. We almost made it.
It's here, baby.
That's right.
Weekend's here. A lot of good stuff. Final Four.
Let's go.
Jackets now in official pseudo must-win territory. Well, that was a flop last night, man. But guess what?
Still
alive. They're still alive.
Staying alive.
They are.
Staying alive. That's where we're at. It's looking bleak right now. It's looking bleak. I don't know where we're at on the DEFCON scale, AR, at the moment.
I'd flip it probably 60-40 the wrong way. That's where I am.
So are we DEFCON 2 right now?
I always feel like DEFCON like 4 or whatever, it should be the worst, but it's the other way, I think.
So 1 we're is the absolute worst, right?
I think. Yes, you're close up the mountain. That's it. I think we're
probably at a 2. If we did a poll for Jacket fans right now.
You know what I feel about those polls. I think that you're either going to vote because you know it's going to go the wrong way, or you're voting because you want it to go the right way and you can't put that bad cosmic energy into the air.
Okay.
Or you're the third voter. The third voter is the non-caring voter but just wants to be the, let me see if I can mess up the poll a little bit or put some negative energy into the poll. I think there are three different.
We don't need that.
Yeah, we don't need that.
I'd like to get a feel, though, right now, before we leave today. TLC, cook up some type of poll.
He wants a real feel.
That we can throw out there to Jacket fans to see where the vibe is right now. Because obviously it can't be good. It can't be good.
All right, here's what I do think it's going to match the real analytics.
Okay.
I think that at the end of the show, however many people vote, I think it's going to come out to about 40% in.
Okay.
So how are we phrasing this?
However you want to phrase it, my man. You just do you have confidence in the Jackets making the postseason? Yes or no?
Yes or no?
And very simple. Will the Blue Jackets make the postseason?
And set it up, TLC, to where we can get the latest report before we leave. So maybe end this thing at like 2:30.
Yeah, don't make it a 20-minute poll, is what Maddie's saying.
I got you.
Just have it run throughout the show.
Will the Blue Jackets make the playoffs?
Yes or no?
Playoffs. No? Everybody go hop in that poll.
Hop on that thing. Right. Don't mess around. Yeah, it is a freaky Friday. Do what you got to do. We're at 971RNI, our Twitter handle?
Yes.
Okay, so there you go. 971RNI. Jacket fans, get in on this, because I really want to do a vibe check of where we are right now on April 3rd.
Coming Twitter. Out.
Coming out of last night's mess.
All right, so I'll give you my take on it. This is first of all, Elvis got to play against Carolina. I don't think he's played against them. And it was a horrendous start. This is what Carolina does to you. They suffocate you. They play above the puck. They're a really good team. And this is not to take any onus off the Jackets, but this is not a team that you're trying to, quote, get well against. It's just not. They're a 102-point hockey team. Like, that's not. And they were playing on home ice to clinch a playoff and all that. Like, they had a little energy in the building. Mm-hmm. And certainly there was a little carryover from the game here. And so they still had a little pent-up aggression against the Jackets. So it wasn't a lot of fighting. It wasn't that. It wasn't that kind of carryover. But there was some pretty good intensity. They skate. They're good. They're deep. That's who Carolina is. They're knocking on the door. And this could be the year they actually bust it down. I think that's who they are. If they get some goaltending. And they've gotten some goaltending lately. And this is what happens when you get in the playoffs. And that's why I feel like this has to pay off for the Jackets. You really want it to pay off. Now, we got some horrible news today that Sivo's out for the year with the shoulder.
Tough.
So we knew he was going to be out probably for the regular season, but then you find out it's surgery and now he's done. And now I feel like defense, the blue line was always a little bit thin for me depth-wise, but here's how I think they countered that lack of depth. I think they countered it with Zach and Sivo with chemistry. Maddie, the forward lines can create chemistry organically. You and I do enough shows together, we're going to build chemistry and we're not even going to try. And I feel like the wingers, you don't have to worry as much about the forward lines. When you have good chemistry among defensemen, you know where they're going to be, you know how they're going to think and act and play. We saw it with Seth and Z years and years ago.
Absolutely.
And when they split up, when Seth went to Chicago, he struggled a little bit there. Without Z. And Z struggled a little bit here without his boy. And building chemistry amongst D-men, I'll have to ask Bones about this at some point if we get him on the program. Like, I think it's totally different than building chemistry with the forward lines. And I also feel like the situation with Zach having to adjust to whoever he's playing with, whether it's Fabs or Denton or whatever, I think that we've lost a little bit something there. I'm not going to put every goal on Elvis, but there are a couple he needs to save to keep them in the game. The first one's a wicked deflection. I'm not going to go crazy about that. But what I saw last night was a team that was getting out-dueled and they were a little sloppy in areas they can't afford to be sloppy. And I don't want to put it all on Zamula or any, like, he got out-dueled on a puck by Blake. It led to a goal. Marchi had a puck kind of play him on the wall. That turns into a shot from long distance, a deflection. It's in the back of your net. There are certain little details last night that I saw that make me feel like this team is feeling it a little bit now. It's crunch time. And Bones, here's the thing about this team. They've never gone through this. And now they're going through it at the worst possible time. You know the run Bones went on. He's never had to deal with this. So Bones is probably thinking, How hard do I press him now? We got to clean this stuff up, but yeah. Do I get on him? Do we have more meetings? Do we have this? Like, how much do I want to get in their heads because of here we are trying to fight for a playoff spot? I'm looking at the standings, and I will tell you that the mark is the Islanders. That's it. They're 1 point ahead of the Jackets, same amount of games played. Third in the Metro is alive, and it's there for the taking, and the Jackets are going to have to win their games to overtake them and take a hold of that third spot. The wild card is a little dicey for me now, only because Ottawa and the Red Wings and even the Flyers, but I'll leave it to Ottawa and the Red Wings. They've played one less game. They've got a game in hand on the Jackets. Now, the key one will be when the Jackets go to Detroit, but they're not obviously looking past what they have next. Their biggest game, it's cliche, is their next game. But I did not... When they battled back in that game and got it to 3-1, guys were in the crease. They were doing the right things. They gave it right back, and it just was... I just felt like Carolina was on the attack, and I feel like the Jackets are playing a little bit of not to lose right now.
And that goes back to what you mentioned, where maybe some of the pressure is starting to creep in. The injury stuff is what it is. That obviously sucks, right?
Can't excuse it.
The timing of that is just horrible, because... All year, it's been a relatively healthy hockey team, right? We haven't been talking about a whole bunch of injuries to key guys week in, week out, or whatever that may look like. So that obviously is a big deal and an issue there. But looking at the game last night, and you know, one thing for me, and I'm glad you brought up the defense, because that's been tough, and losing guys like Sivo is obviously a big deal, but there's just really nothing there offensively to where I think teams are truly threatened right now consistently throughout three periods of the game. I mean, you go into Carolina last night, you come out of that thing with only 10 shots on goal. That's a tough place to be. Like, you're just not going to be winning a whole bunch of hockey games with that type of offensive output. But one of the things that was concerning to me, or is concerning to me coming out of that game, is what Slick Rick was saying. Because when he's throwing out quotes of...
I can play one for you.
If you have it, play it, because you probably read my mind.
Maybe it's this one. Let's play. Let me see if I can get in your brain. I'm not sure if it's this one, but I think it's where I was going with the message and whether it's getting through and what guys are opening themselves up to, what they're wanting to hear and absorb.
Well, they got to start to listen. When we tell them what not to do, they better start to listen again, because right now we got some guys on their own program out there, and we got to get back to our team game, and we will. This is a good group, and we had an off night. I got it. You know, like I told them after the game, we'll deal with it Saturday morning, but we had a bad night.
That is exactly what I was about to read. So you just read my mind. You know, you mentioned chemistry earlier.
It's the blue line together. Chemistry,
you
right?
You worked together long ago. I hate hearing the part AR about guys on their own program.
No, I think they're not. I think how I read that is they're in their own heads. I think some of them are.
I hope that's the case, and not guys are just out there willy nilly doing what they want to do and not listening to the coaches and not playing within the system. I hope that's not the case.
It may not be intentional, but it's what's happening.
And that, to me, is what's scary right now. Is for whatever reason, as a coach, he's not feeling like his guys are locked in mentally in certain aspects of the game. And so,
3-0, 13 minutes in. Like, you're already just cooked. In a horrible mind space.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Why can't we be in the Pacific Division? Why can't we have that luck? Because if we were over there... we'd be in first place.
We could pick up Columbus and move it to the coast. I wouldn't mind that.
Because
our salaries would be a little less because they pay us in sunshine.
True that.
Right?
Anaheim and what, Edmonton? They've got 87 points right now, battling it out for first in that division right now. So, look, you got to create your own luck sometimes. Sometimes things are just not going to go your way. But just looking at the standings this morning, I was like, my goodness.
Yeah, but let me give you something else about getting in. If you would have told me before the season that the Rangers and the Devils and the Capitals and the Panthers and I'll just leave it at that, that they'd all be done, I would have said you're nuts.
Crazy.
And so what I mean by that is, I'm not saying they're going to win a cup. I'm not even saying they'd be able to get to the conference finals. What I'm telling you is the East is open. Mm-hmm. It's competitive as hell. But it's wide open. The teams that I just talked about that aren't going to be in this party, and that's why I want this to pay off. I want them to get in, and I want to see what they can do in a wide open East. I mentioned Carolina finally maybe kicking the door in. We know what Tampa's about, veteran team. Buffalo's new to the party. If Montreal keeps getting the goaltending they're getting from former Buckeye Jakub Dobish, they're a real contender in this because they're coming. And try playing up there in Montreal in a playoff game when they're getting good goaltending.
Good luck.
Good luck. What's that from?
Terminator.
No. Close, but I don't know. Good luck.
Rocky.
Nope. It's tough.
I don't know why I'm doing TLC's bit.
Yeah, why are you doing his job?
I'm done. I've been retired. This is his thing.
Hey, TLC, can you translate this for me?
Good luck. The Hunt for Red October.
No. Not an 80s movie.
Oh. That's surprising.
That would be a scene out of Taken.
Oh, my goodness.
When Liam Neeson is,
okay. Yeah. Okay.
Asking Marco from Trapulia to translate.
A very particular set of skills.
That's right.
I don't know who you are. I will look for you. Yeah. I will find you. And I will kill you.
Imagine being on the other end of that phone call.
Imagine being on the other end of that and actually staying through to the end of it. Like, the way Liam delivers that... If you're a terrorist or somebody committing horrible crimes on the other end of that, you're not staying around to hear that. You're hanging up. And he's going, did you hear? Are you still there? No.
Doom.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That dunk would have come in a lot earlier than that. All right. We are off and running. Jackets do get Winnipeg tomorrow. So, I'm ready to say it's kind of must win. Like emotional.
Oh, a must win for
you.
Well,
I think it's just psychological. Okay. I put more of the must win at Detroit. But I feel like they're at that point now. I think you unload the chamber Saturday. They're coming off a clunker. They're going to be at home. I think they'll feel it's must win because there's nothing that a win can't cure, man. You're right there.
Mm-hmm.
You're right there. This is not, I don't want to put the word desperate attached to it, but I feel like for the psyche of staying in this thing, there's nothing a win can't launch you. Remember, when you're winning the way they were winning, Everyone's freewheeling. Everything's good. Mm-hmm. And when you start to lose, and as I said, they have not gone through this type of stretch with Bones. He hasn't gone through it with these guys. Yeah. He probably wasn't even sure how they'd react to something like this. But here we are. All right, we also got the Final Four this weekend, and it is a doozy. Which way are we leaning? We'll tell you next. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
The only workplace in America to participate in the Doorknob Fart Game. And we also play office basketball and sometimes do radio. The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Remets are making a push to the playoffs.
Islanders and Adam Fantilli, one more time, puts it in the net.
Listen to every exciting moment, including an extended pregame show for weekend games. Proud to be your home of the Jackets. The Fan.
I'm Yolanda.
Ohio.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Chances of showers and storms for us this afternoon. Otherwise, it'll be partly sunny and breezy with highs getting up into the low 80s. For tonight's shower, thunderstorm chances linger overnight. Otherwise, mostly cloudy with lows in the 60s. And then for Saturday, we'll see partly sunny skies with chances of showers and storms developing in the afternoon. Breezy winds and highs in the low 80s. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
All the Ohio State conversation you can handle. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6.
Your Ohio State flagship station. The Fan. The perfect ratio of sports talk, dogs, pro wrestling, and gambling advice.
It's science.
You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
All right, coin flip on the Final Four for sure. I think a lot of these teams, certainly Michigan and Arizona, a little bit of the de facto championship game. I don't know if I want to go all in on that because it's a one-game deal. Hot shooting team can beat anybody. But I think, and then it depends how hard fought that is, and it should be really hard fought, the Michigan-Arizona game. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, how much do you have left of the championship game on Monday? But and they'll be in the late game. So Illinois plays UConn in the early game, a little bit after 6 o'clock. And I started to think about if we get an all-Big Ten final. You know, certainly, I know you and I aren't the, like, let's wave the flag for the Big Ten, but I think there's a little bit of pride because here's the thing. And I think I said this before the tournament. I do want the conference to crack the seal. It's been too long, right? It's too, I mean, 26 years is too long. Like, I'd like, so you're going to get an automatic champion. The only problem with it is that it most likely would be Ohio State's rival in Michigan. Like, so you could, it could really be the double whammy that they're the team that wins it. And, but Illinois knocked on the door before. They've gotten close. You and I have talked about Final Four on how there's pride in getting to the Final Four. But if you're Illinois, you've had some tough luck. And this is one where if you could get through with this team, they played Michigan not that long ago and at home. Got kind of smoked. So if they're playing Michigan in the final, I wouldn't look at it as it's tough to beat the same team twice. I would look at it the other way and say, Illinois, you're up against it. You better be shooting the lights out tonight against Michigan because if Michigan gets past Arizona, that would be a pretty, I think, a pretty decent favorite in the final. But they control the paint against Illinois. And but
I like this Illinois team, man.
Yeah, I do too.
I really do. I like the size that they bring out there to the floor. They're, you know, one of the tallest teams in the country, you know, all the way down their roster. And so offensively, you know, outside of the game that you mentioned, they've been a good team. They've been a good team this year. And there's a lot of weapons that they can throw at you. And so I actually think they're going to win this game against UConn tonight and so or tomorrow. And so that's what I'm fascinated to see is just can they continue this ride that they've been on? Because if they get after UConn, and UConn's got a good defense, they're really good at getting after people on the perimeter, and Hurley's going to demand that with his edge and energy as a coach. But I think they're going to be able to crack the code against the Huskies. And so you're right about the other game. That's the banger that everybody's going to be looking forward to watching tomorrow with 2-1 seeds getting after it between Michigan and Arizona. I mean, these programs have 5 combined losses on the year. They're just not used to losing to anybody. So this is the heavyweight stuff that I absolutely love. Vegas thinks it's going to be a tight game. Michigan's favored by like 1 or 2 points in this game as well. And so Dusty May has built something very quickly that you just have to respect. You don't have to like it, I think, as a Buckeye fan, but I just, for me at least, I respect it because I didn't think that this would happen this fast for him coming from the program that he came from. And so he's turned this thing into a juggernaut. But we've talked about Arizona a lot over the last couple of months too and what they're going to bring to the floor and the balance that they have as well. So that's what I love to see when we get to this portion of the bracket AR is just future NBA prospects, really good college players right now that may be NBA guys in the future getting after it and trying to find themselves in the natty.
I don't think Michigan, of all the four teams that are left to me, are maybe the least battle tested, but it doesn't make them any less dangerous.
Yeah.
I look at the other teams and they all had roads where they had to get through people and through teams that are, you know, were picked by a lot of people. Illinois had to beat Houston in Houston. That's a massive one. UConn certainly not only came back 19 down to Duke, but they beat Michigan State, who's always there in the tournament. UCLA was a team that people thought could be a tough out. Yep. So it's not like I'm sitting here today trying to decide, did UConn use all their luck against Duke? Now, they're big enough to restrict teams and be able to compete. I just don't feel like they're going to have enough to beat Illinois. And I'm not talking about luck and I'm not talking about energy. I feel like that unless Illinois relies on the three so much and doesn't have a good night, I think they're getting by UConn. UConn is just, they put opponents on the free throw line. Illinois is one of the best offensive teams in the country, and I just don't think UConn would have enough. And it's not because, like I said, where they used it all up against Duke. Maybe they're feeling complete house money now because they probably should be watching with the rest of us.
I am a little worried about UConn's emotional state in this coming down from that magical moment that they had at the end of the game. Like, obviously, it just wasn't yesterday or anything like that. But riding that high and having to come back up for a game like this, how they handle that. I'm always curious how athletes do that. It'll probably be fine. These are college dudes that are playing in the Final Four. So they're going to be ready to rock and roll. But for Illinois and what they want to do against UConn, you mentioned how much they foul. I think it's because they're such an aggressive team out there on the perimeter that they're going to hack. So if I'm Illinois, man, I'm throwing pump fakes at them all the time because those guys are going to want to try to hack you and block your shots all the time. And so, yeah, on the other side, too, what I'm curious to see in Michigan and Arizona is the battle of the boards. Like in these games, either game that you're talking about, it's all about the finite details. All these teams are really, really talented, obviously, but that's what it has to come down to is how many extra possessions can you steal away from your opponent? So when you look at both Michigan and Arizona, they've been dominant rebounding teams this year in their respective conferences. So that's going to be a big thing for me to watch as well.
Oh, it's going to be physical, man. Yeah. That game, Michigan try to play defense without fouling, force Arizona to take threes. They don't take a lot of them. They like to get paths to the rim. They like to get fouled. They like to get to the line. Mm-hmm. They've got very good players. And if Michigan can D it up without fouling, I think they win the game. I'm leaning all Big Ten final.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a slight lean, and I like Arizona a lot, but maybe I'm just leaning into the emotion of potentially a Big Ten final. The Big Ten's been so good in this tournament. I'll tell you where I would be absolutely blown away, and I shouldn't be because these are both coin flip games.
Yeah.
If this is UConn versus Arizona in the final, I actually will come in here on Monday and feel a little bit surprised.
Yeah, a little surprised there. I feel you on that. There's a video going around of Illinois' walkthrough either yesterday or this morning. Illinois fans are packing that place out.
Huge.
Packing that place.
It's another big advantage.
No question. And so how UConn's going to be able to handle that, because Illinois is going to be able to gain the juice from their crowd and their fan base that seems to be that they're going to be well represented in that. So, yeah, I'm with you. That's what I'm expecting as well. I think the Wolverines and the Illini are going to be getting after each other for a natty on Monday night.
Michigan looks so good against Tennessee. Let me give you the roads real fast, just because I mentioned real quick about being battle-tested or not. So, obviously, they took care of the 16. They beat the 9 in St. Louis. They beat Bama, who was a 4, and maybe they were a little overseeded 4. And then they beat a 6 in Tennessee. So their road was 16-9-4-6. Not anything crazy. Arizona's road, 16-9-4-2.
Mm-hmm.
So the only difference there was they played Purdue and Michigan played Tennessee. Here's the road for Illinois. Was a 14, an 11, the beating Houston was massive, and then Iowa, a 9. So, but Big Ten, you know each other pretty well. And then UConn's road was a 15, Furman, UCLA, Michigan State a 3, and then the 19-point comeback by Duke with the shot. So you're right to point out, have they been just basking in the glow of Mullen's shot for a week? And will that do them right? Because they're in a great mindset of, we're not supposed to be here, we may as well win.
Yeah.
Or are they still thinking about making the Final Four?
It's going to be fun to see.
In 2 minutes, we will welcome a little NBA royalty into the building. Kenny Anderson, the former NBA All-Star, New York City kid, went to Georgia Tech, played in a Final Four himself. I'm sure he'll have some great thoughts. And then we'll preview an awesome tournament that is coming to Columbus. We'll tell you all about that in 2 minutes. Rothman.
Saint Jude, every innovation we make is a moment we give to children with cancer everywhere. But we can't do it without you.
Learn more at stjude.org.
Hey, what's up? It's Team Live Better.
Rothman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door showroom on Gemini Parkway.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Truth of the matter is, you're listening to Rothman and Ice on 97.1 The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. This is outstanding for us. When you get legendary players in the building, you make room. And our guy from New York City, Georgia Tech, and can I say old school? Is that, that's not an insult, right? I'm old school. I like being old school.
Yeah. Now, right? You can call me old school.
All right, good. New school here, old school with us. All right, first of all, welcome to Columbus.
Yeah, thank you.
And welcome back. You've been to Ohio. We talked before, and your memory of Ohio is what? Kind of a bittersweet one, right?
Not so good.
Tell us about it.
1991, Jimmy Jackson, Ohio State. We lost in NCAA, Georgia Tech to them. But I don't know how many points we lost by, but I didn't have a good shooting night. I know that. But it was just interesting.
As a point guard growing up that way, shooting really isn't priority number one, at least in your era it wasn't, but you had some great night shooting.
Yeah.
When you sensed, when you came out to a game, and whether it was strategically or whether the coach was designing, this is a day where Kenny's going to dish to everybody, or if Kenny gets hot, we're going to ride him. Is that how that goes?
Not with me. Not me, point guard. You have to get everybody else involved. And when I scored, it was a bonus. You know, that's just where I, high school, college, pros, that's just how it is. And then the pros, it got really interesting because I played with Derek Coleman, Larry John. I played with some great big men. So they was like, you giving me the goddamn ball. You ain't going to shoot. Come bring me the ball. So I had to get everybody involved or, you know, be arguing and all that, you know.
Let's go back to the streets in New York.
Yeah.
Because I hear a lot about how that can really be a good upbreak. It could be tough, but it could also be good for you later down the line. So talk about growing up in Queens, I believe, and how that shaped you as a man and a player.
It shaped me big time playing in New York, Left Rack City, Queens, Harlem, Brooklyn. I played everywhere in the playgrounds. It made me tougher.
Mm-hmm.
And being like 6'2", 180, soaking wet, you know, getting pushed. Pushed to the concrete, the fence, everything. Yeah. Just getting back up, playing, it makes you tough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't complain, can't call fouls. You just got to keep playing. And that's what I did. It was awesome, though, playing the streets of New York, man. The parks was crowded. It was just a great feeling to be out there.
New York basketball growing up, different than West Coast hoops?
Oh,
like,
yeah,
what did New York do for you in your game?
Just strengthened it. It strengthened it. I played against some great players, some of the great point guards before me, Rod Strickland, Mark Jackson, Kenny Smith, Pearl Washington, rest in peace, my guy, Boo Harvey, Kenny Patterson, Kenny Hutchinson. It goes on and on. It goes on and on. So, You gotta keep it going, you know.
Sure.
And that's what I did.
For sure. My guy is from Chicago.
Yeah.
You're a New
Chicago,
York guy.
Yeah.
Chicago pizza, New York pizza. Yeah. Do they stand a chance?
No, not with pizza.
Okay.
Not with pizza. And we always I played with Antoine Walker, Tim Hardaway, Derrick Rose. Chicago has some ballers.
Yeah. They
did. Isaiah Thomas. So it just, you know.
All right, well, then you're gonna have to do me a favor.
Yes.
All right, Kenny Anderson, NBA All-Star, celebrity spokesperson for the Classic for Columbus.
Yes.
This is going to be, we're going to give away VIP tickets, but it's free to the public. So 3-on-3 hoops is free to the public, and we'll get John in here in a moment to give us all the details. It's May 2nd from noon to 4 at Ohio State at the RPAC. You're not going to want to miss this. ClassicForColumbus.com is the site, and go there. All right, my man here, Ohio born and bred. I'm Chi-Town. You're going to be the tiebreaker on this. Mike or LeBron? Please tell
I'm old school. I'm going to keep it a buck. I played against everybody. Kobe, LeBron, Mike, and MJ. I'm going with MJ. MJ's the best. But
it's a generational thing. I respect
that.
I respect that. It's a generational thing.
My son loves LeBron.
Yeah, it's a generational thing. I get that. Talk about playing against Kobe, though.
Kobe's... It was, just great. Never really, you know, I didn't know him like that, but I just competed, and he was just focused, focused, and he had all the moves. He was a little, he took a lot of his game from Michael, and he just was big. And what was real interesting about him, when Shaq left and Paul Gasol came in, he wanted to win it without Shaq, and he did. He was just motivated. He was different animal.
It's a little bit of the tiebreaker I was going for with Mike, staying in Chi-Town and not going anywhere.
Yeah, that's big time, man. Not going anywhere, playing, winning 6 championships, and he didn't go with everybody. You know, everybody came to Chicago if they could, but back then it was a little different. Yeah. You know, it was just him and Scottie Pippen. B.J. Armstrong was a good friend of mine, and you know, he's doing great. He's at Sacramento. He's a coach for Sacramento. I know he's hurting right now because they're losing a lot. But
what was it like being a point guard in the 90s?
It was tough. It was tough. We had a lot of, you know, point guards in the lead. You know, for instance, Gary Payton, Kevin Johnson, Tim Hardaway. I can go on and on. But like I said earlier, the bigs, they wasn't shooting threes. They wanted the ball on the block. And it was my job to get them the ball. So, you know, certain games, you know, you had to be clever and understand the game. You had to, you know, manage the game as a point guard. That's what John Stockton was one of the best at it. You know, assist and score when you have to. Yeah. So, you know, you got to be in the 15 to 20 range point. But you, great, getting 10 assists, 11 assists. Yeah. Less turnover, 2 turnovers a game. Going into a game, whatever level up, I concentrated on turning the ball over. That was one. So I wanted to stay on a bad night. 3 turnovers was bad for me. So I tried to keep it from, you know, 1 to 2 turnovers. But, you know, you gotta quarterback the game. Yeah. And guys want the ball. So they'll love you if you give them assists.
No doubt.
Yeah, I love you.
For sure, for sure. You mentioned Gary Payton, the glove.
Yeah.
What was one of your favorite defensive players to go up against? Like, when you saw that team on the schedule and knew, I got to get busy against this guy, and a matchup you got excited for.
It was only New York. You know, New York, because I'm from New York, New Jersey Nets I played for. So when we went over to the Garden, it was special for me because, you know, I know all my family and friends would watch the games, and playing at the Madison Square Garden was huge. So you want to show off. You want to do your thing.
The energy in there has to be incredible. I've never been there. Yeah. I have to get there for a Knicks game. Yeah. But just talk about the energy, and it's the fan base and the passion over there in New York.
Basketball is it, man. Yeah. The whole New York, you know, it's a great rival. Just going in the building, just seeing all the people at the games. And which was very interesting, Willis Reed was my general manager, was our GM with the New Jersey Nets, and he was an ex-Nick. So
very cool. Yeah, so cool. New York City guy coming back, that had to be cool. But if you put yourself in this era, I mean, Georgia Tech seems, it seems odd, right, for a New York City kid, but Bobby Crimmins was certainly made an impact on you. But I feel like maybe if you were from this era, maybe you wouldn't have gone to Georgia Tech. I don't know, maybe you would have. It's what drove you in that era to Georgia Tech?
Atlanta and my mother and Coach Crimmins, you know, it's a quick story. So I wanted to go to Syracuse. So I went on a visit. It was fine. Boom, boom. Then my mother came on my visit to Georgia Tech. And then we was on a plane coming back, and she was like, "You going to Georgia Tech? I don't want to hear nothing else."
Wow. All right. Listen to mom.
It's real talk.
Turned out pretty damn good, though.
It was great. She saw it, but she wasn't going to let me go.
Lethal Weapon 3 is one of the great big three in a way.
Yeah.
Did you get everything out of that team you thought you would?
Yeah. I wanted to win a national my freshman year because I won in high school. So I wanted to – I was so close. That goddamn UNLV team. With Larry Johnson, Stacey Augman, Greg Anthony, we lost. We was up by 7 at halftime, but I got into a little foul trouble, and they took over from there. They beat us by like 10 points. It was a close game, but I wanted to win so bad, not only for me, but for Georgia Tech and Atlanta people and everything. So, but came up short. But Final Four was something There's something big to talk about.
Yeah, you should be proud of that, man. Yeah, for sure, yeah, for sure. Real quick, when it comes to football, growing up in New York, Giants or Jets for you?
Neither.
Okay.
I'm a Cowboy fan. See, I'm a Cowboy. I'm a Danny White guy from 81. I got into football, 1981. Yeah. I was 11 years old. Got in it. Modell's was selling jerseys.
Yeah.
And I got, my mother bought me home a number 11. And if, ever since then, I just fell in love with Cowboys and Danny White, my guy.
I did not like him. I'm a Vikings guy. I mean, even after Staubach, we thought maybe the Cowboys would take a dip, and then Danny was as good as they come. Let me bring
And he was a punter, too.
Yeah. Those guys back then, they could do it all. John Pace, CEO of the Classic for Columbus. We welcome you to town as well.
Welcome.
You tell me, this you hope this impacts lives, right, this tournament?
It will impact lives. In fact, 97.1 The Fan Ballers, it's time to make it rain on the court for a good cause. We're raising money for scholarships.
Okay, and people, you want people to come out and watch this, and it's all age groups and all sorts of great situations. I grew up way back in the day, like Gus Mack or 3-on-3 and all that, but this really runs the gamut. Tell us about what you hope this day will achieve.
Well, first, if you're a baller, you can play. You can play. The only restriction, if you're a minor, you have to have an adult register you. But there are four divisions. There's a middle school division, a high school division, a college division, and a business and community division. So there's a division for everyone to play in, and you can win your share of $10,000 cash. So run the rock with some of the best trios in Ohio. It's going to be a lot of fun, but you can win cash.
Awesome. ClassicForColumbus.com is the site. Sign up. We're going to give away VIP tickets today, but our NBA All-Star and celebrity spokesperson, Kenny Anderson, in studio. Who's winning it all?
I know they don't like it, but Michigan, I believe they're going to win it all. But I got a big, you know, I want UConn because my good friend is assistant coach, Kamadi Young, assistant coach with UConn. And Danny Hurley is a great coach. But Illinois is good, too. So
it's a great Final Four.
It's a great Final Four.
For sure. Yeah.
Good time, big time basketball. Mm-hmm. It's going to be interesting. But I got Michigan probably. They too much. Okay. But Arizona's good, though.
Yeah, a lot of people think that on that side, whoever comes out of that side might take it.
Yes.
Kenny, this was a great trip down memory lane, my man. Yep. I'm glad you're doing well. Yep. This journey has taken you a lot of places, but you're here helping to impact youth basketball and people that may never get to your level, but will have a great time, certainly at the Classic for Columbus. Thanks for being here.
Pleasure, man. My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Kenny Anderson in studio. We'll come back with overs and unders into the weekend. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
We're the girthiest radio station in the history of radio.
Uncomfortably girthy.
This promo is uncomfortable.
The Fan, Ohio's girth destination.
Hey there, friends. It's Bobin.
Only there was a radio show that constantly talked about Ohio State athletics. Well, good news. It's real, baby. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6.
Proud to be your flagship home of the Buckeyes. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
After my accident, people warned me to slow down. I said, I don't know how. Thanks to my VA care team, I haven't.
At VA, we're using technology to help veterans recover faster and live their lives to the fullest. Learn more at vacareers.va.gov/PSA.
I'm Yolanda.
The Fan Poll is sponsored by JT's Pizza and Pub, home of award-winning pizza and 32-ounce Yingling drafts for only $4. Rothman and Ice presents Overs and Unders.
Sponsored by the Roofing Guys. For all your roofing, siding, and gutter needs, contact the Roofing Guys at theroofingguys.com.
All right, well, that was a fun little ride. I mean, there was a lot of stuff we did kind of off the air with Ohio State and Georgia Tech. And I mean, back in the day, making the Final Four and his teams were, he was a freshman when he took them to the Final Four. And there is something to be said for that, for a guy being that young to be able to lead them to a Final Four. And Georgia Tech was a massive basketball program back then. He took it to a whole nother level. So it was good to have Kenny Anderson in studio. And we will be giving out the VIP tickets that will include
reserve floor seating, complimentary food and beverage. You'll be in the exclusive area. This is May 2nd, noon to 4 at the Ohio State University RPAC for the Classic for Columbus, the 3-on-3 hoops. It's free to the public, but we'll hand out a couple VIP tickets later in the show.
We need to enter as a trio. When I heard $10,000, divide that up between the three of us, TLC, that'll help you pay for the Dinger Draft dinner, you know, down the road.
No kidding. You got that right.
But no, it was great to talk to Kenny. And I love AR, a good New York accent. Like, the New York accent is just, it was good, man. So, yeah, awesome. He signed a basketball for us and everything, man. So, yeah, support that call. Support the 3-on-3 and get on out there and get some buckets. And more importantly, get some money. Go win that.
Go for the cash.
Yeah, man, absolutely.
All right, TLC, what do you have?
All right, we have two baseball games that will be starting in the next segment. We got Dodgers and Nationals, and we got Cardinals and Tigers. How many Nerfies do we like in this one? Over, under, 1.5.
The Nerfy King. This is your thing. Let's go. Take us to the promised land.
How many games? 2, you said?
Okay, Geno Smith. 2.
I think we'll get 1.
Okay. I'm going to go 2. I'm going over. Give me both.
Both with no runs first inning?
Yes.
Both Nerfies coming in?
Yep.
Well, then we should bet that.
Let's do it.
Well, got a little time. 105, okay, 110. Yeah,
exactly.
All right. We'll know this answer in about, I don't know, 45 minutes.
Yeah, so if you hear a son of a right in the middle of the segment.
We lost some.
Then you'll know the Dodgers led off the game with a home run off of Miles Michaels.
Oh, I don't like that matchup. I don't like that matchup. Yeah, I'm going under then. Michaelis is pitching against the Dodgers.
We just changed it?
Yeah. We'll get 1. I don't like Michaelis AR against Ohtani and Mookie and those guys out of the gate. I'm changing on the fly. Unless you're telling me.
No, I think I'll bet both just so we have it. I'll do this at the break. Okay. We'll bet both Nerfies, Dodgers, Nats, Cards, Tigers, and then we'll either be flying high for the second half of the show or we'll be finding something else to try to win our way back.
How many Final Four games will end up as one possession games? The over-under is 1.5, and 1.5 is the special number because both games are 1.5-point spreads.
They're both supposed to be very good. So we're taking the... You got to explain this a little bit to me. When you say both games will be 2 points or less?
Three points or less.
I'm going under.
I don't think we're.
Yeah, I don't think they'll be. I don't think they.
I think they live up to the hype, but not that close.
I think Illinois might run away from UConn a little bit late. I'm going under.
If they're shooting,
yeah. I'm going under.
We'll take the under.
How many NL Central teams will make the playoffs this year? Over, under, 1.5.
Are you doing this to me because your Pirates just won a couple games in a row? You're feeling good, Connor Griffin in the building today.
No, we have. Okay, you and I are both 3-3, right?
That we are. How many NL Central teams?
Are the Cardinals 4-2?
They are. It's crazy. I'll go.
The Cardinals are going to be terrible.
I'll go over. Yeah, I'm
Did
going
you
over.
Say over?
I said over. I'm going over.
How many teams in the Central?
And yes, the Reds will be one of them.
I feel like the Cubs will catch a little fire. Like, they got off to a slow start. I don't love the Cardinals. I agree. The Brewers, yes.
They're always in the mix.
Well, name me the others.
I think between the Reds, Cubs, and Brewers, two of those can get it. And will get it.
Brewers will.
Yeah.
Reds. Cards won't. I hate doing this to you, but I don't think the Reds will.
Yeah, listen, that's fine.
I mean, it's just... What about Hunter Green? What's going on there?
He'll be back in a couple
months. Okay. All right, so what's that total?
I'm at the over.
What was your over-under?
1.5.
I'll take the over.
Okay.
There you go. Yeah. How many Heisman finalists will Ohio State have in 2026? Over-under, 1.5.
Oh, I think they get both.
I'm going to go under.
I'll say over.
I think if this, and this is a big if this quarterback class is what it's supposed to be, I don't know if there's going to be room at the table for 2 this year. So I'll go under.
Okay. I'm taking over.
And last one, how much of tonight's Aviators game will you watch? Over under 2.5 drives.
Maddie's flipping the coin. He's going to watch all of it.
I got a dinner to be at 7:45. The game starts at...
That's somewhere else to be.
Is it a watch party?
It is not a watch party. It is not a watch party.
I think he said dinner as in somewhere else to be.
I'll go under.
Where am I watching?
Just because I have something to do tonight.
You tell me.
You tell me. I mean, if I'm not there in person, am I still... You saying I got to go to the game to watch it?
No, I'm just saying wherever it can be accessed.
Okay. Well, that's where I need you. Where's my access?
Well, my answer is under, so if that
on
gives
Fox?
You
is it on Fox? One of the Foxes, Maddie?
That sounds correct. Huh? Yeah, that sounds correct. You'll be locked in. I want a full breakdown on Monday, drive by drive from you.
I could provide that for you. I'm actually going to be very interested in the Islanders Flyers tonight because that will have some impact.
So you're going
on
under.
The old CBJ.
So you're going under.
It's on Big Boy Fox.
Big Boy Fox.
No,
and how much
no
do,
branches.
How much do I have to watch to hit the over?
3 drives.
I'll hit the over for you. I'll do my part.
You don't have to if you don't want to.
Well, I don't have a dinner to go to, so I guess I'll have to.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to come back top of the hour, and the one thing missing from the Ohio State offense, we'll let the star tell us. That's next, Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
T-Bone and Tybus are everything you want in a delicious breakfast. Lots of empty calories, no nutritional value.
Weekday mornings from 6 to 9.
The Fan. I've had a number.
Some journeys start small, with small paws and big purpose.
You sweet girl.
Every great partnership begins with the first step.
Bella, let's go.
Guiding them through the world so one day they can guide someone through life. With shared experience, confidence grows and the path becomes clear. It takes time, patience, and love. But the reward lasts a lifetime.
Hey, good girl, Bella.
You don't just raise a puppy. You raise a future. Become a Dogs, Inc. puppy raiser. Give a dog a purpose. Give someone hope.
Learn more at dogsinc.org.
I take care of the kids, my dad, things at work, but I haven't made time to take care of what I need.
Millions of caregivers experience symptoms of anxiety and depression. Go to mentalhealthcareworks.org to learn how to get the support you deserve. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good afternoon, I'm Isaiah Jacob. In the NHL, the Blue Jackets are trying to hold on to a playoff spot as last night's loss to Carolina puts them into a 3-way tie for the final wildcard spot in the East. The CBJ have lost 5 in a row, but will look to end their losing streak tomorrow against Winnipeg at 7. In the NBA, the Cavaliers clinched a top 6 seed in the playoffs with their 118-111 win over the Warriors. This guarantees the Cavs will avoid the NBA's play-in tournament. A big night at historic Cruz Stadium. For the first time ever, the Columbus Aviators will host the first home game of the inaugural season. Tonight they take on the DC Defenders at 8 p.m. In baseball, the Clippers are facing Indianapolis at home at 6:15. Up in Cleveland, the Guardians start a 3-game homestand against the Chicago Cubs at 4:10. And the Reds travel to Texas to play the Rangers at 4:05. This update was sponsored by Eco Plumbers. Get $500 in free repairs when you buy a new water heater. Visit GetEco.com and book today.
You're listening to Rothman and Ice on 97.1, The Fan!
Second hour of the program, pressure cooker coming up. Our guy Dan Dockich previewing the Final Four. We'll get his picks. I think he's out in Vegas still. He's kind of kicking it.
Living his best
Caesar's
life out there.
Caesar's Palace.
Okay.
The Forum Shops.
Okay. Probably playing some golf, eating some good food. Absolutely.
Sweet. Good life.
Oh, yeah.
All right, the Nerfy is placed. So we're in. The parlay is... We nerfed up both games, and we get plus 300.
For the folks that don't know what the nerfy is, no run first innings in baseball. So that's what we're looking for between
that's
both
right.
teams. You get out of The first inning clean with not a single run on the board. So that's what the Nerfy is, because I know some people are curious about this and probably want to bet along with us.
Or you can bet the Yerfy.
I encourage
the Yes runs first inning.
That, as it pertains to the Dodgers Nationals, I encourage the Yerfy.
Yeah, we're on the underdog. There's no question.
Okay. 721 and 723 if you don't already have it up there.
Well, we're locked in, baby.
Okay, there we go.
And your Mike Trout unit today.
We're locked into one.
We got McAfee on one. We got Dodgers Nationals on the other.
Yeah. You mentioned this before the show about Ohio State and the offense, and if there's a missing link, what is it, right?
Yes.
Jeremiah Smith told us.
So Cleveland.com put out an article, and the headline is, what Jeremiah Smith thinks the Ohio State offense was missing in 2025. And here's the quote. "We were the worst team in yards after the catch last year. We really had no guys who had juice when they had the ball in their hands." And so that's one of those small things, right, that can turn into a big positive for an offense, whether it's your running backs, whether it's your tight end, whether it's your wide receiver. When your quarterback gets your playmakers the ball, that's not the end of the thing. That should never be it. You got to fight through. And so the fact that they've identified that on tape and something that they've clearly been working on, and now you got Coach Cortez Hankton coming in as the new wide receiver coach, that seems to be something that he really wants those guys to be focusing on, is that, hey, just because a defender's coming into your area, or you do get some contact from a defender, whatever it may be, in the form of a tackle, we got to fight through that, and we got to turn that third and five into a fourth and one, and then maybe we can go for it because of yards after the catch or whatever, or just, hey, let's take it to the house after a certain catch or whatever that may be. So Jeremiah throwing it out there, AR, that we just didn't have it when it came to Yak last year. That's something we got to be better at this year.
So it's interesting to hear him say that. And they do a deep dive into the analytics. I mean, he's a vertical threat. So is Carnell Tate. Like, a lot of this was throwing over the top and beating people. There weren't opportunities for yards after the catch because you didn't need any yards after the catch because a lot of them were touchdowns. And so I understand where he's going. Now, when they put Jeremiah in the crossers and had him beaten the second level of the defense, he certainly had yards after the catch. But this is I agree with you. This is the kind of detail the championship teams look at, that a vertical threat who can win immediately on the perimeter and all that good stuff is key. Now, it also depends on the route they're running and what they want. And that's why if Brandon Innes, in the slot and what he can perform this year in yards after the catch will be big, because when you're defending a really good talent, you got to have talent to either press up on them or give yourself room to adjust. And Ohio State was pretty good last year. I'm actually very surprised to hear this, because I thought Ohio State for most of the year was we're going to take what the defense gives us. And if they're going to give us a screen or a quick hitch or a quick out or whatever, we're going to take it. Now, maybe the out took them out of bounds versus, I really like to follow up and find out if this is a lack of being able to break tackles or a route thing or
maybe a combination
thing.
Of both.
Yeah.
Because I think you may be onto something with what you mentioned, where the home run hitting ability that they have or had last year and still have, but definitely last year, was not a one-dimensional thing, but I think they just want to become more well-rounded with what they can do as pass catchers, not just the routes, but also when they get the rock and what you can do there, because I kind of liken it to like a baseball team that's home run heavy, right? Like, versus a team that can do a little bit of everything. We can hit a single and a double when we need to, but we could also knock the ball out of the park. So maybe that's what they're looking for as well. Yes, we love having Jeremiah as this big time threat down the field and all these other guys that can probably do that as well. We just want to be able to throw as many options as we can at the defense in our route running and in our offense as well. And so we want to be able, to your point, to be able to run all of those routes and be able to execute and extend plays when we get the football too.
Yeah, they talk about their receivers being physical and blocking on the perimeter. They've always prided themselves in that.
Yeah.
So this just adds the other element when they get the ball. Can they be physical as well? And, we've seen guys, and certainly the running backs, on the missed tackle rate, and the receivers have to have the avoid tackle rate as well. That's a big analytic amongst moving the chains, but it could be more route related. It's amazing. And by the way, how bad were they? Like, what did he say? He said they were the worst comparing. You mean he was comparing them to the old, to other Ohio State
receiver rooms. I'm not sure exactly what it was, but he just said we were the worst team in yards after the catch last year. So I don't know if Coach Day and Jeremy, I've looked up some numbers from around the country, the Big Ten.
That doesn't ring true to me.
That was his quote. I don't know.
Yeah, you know what rings to me is that he's comparing himself and themselves against other Ohio State receiving rooms.
Maybe so.
That they want to be the best in that category as well. And there's not a lot of things they shouldn't be able to do. And if the running game takes a leap this year, then the play action should help that a lot. But boy, I think he's comparing themselves to like the gold standard of Ohio State receivers in those rooms, because last year they really did take what the defense gave them. And that was a big prideful thing that they didn't need to score fast or throw home runs. They were like, hey, if you're going to give our receivers cushion, we're going to nickel and dime you down the field, death by a thousand cuts. If we need to be that team, we can be that team.
Yeah. And usually what happens is if you start going down that pathway of, hey, death by a thousand cuts, and it's 5 yards here, 7 yards here, whatever it may be, that defense may start to lean down just a little bit and come down. And then with the explosive playmaking skills that they have, that's where you can catch them sleeping, right? With an over-the-top, big-time play, or maybe a play-action play as well. Like, at the run game, to your point, starts to get rolling. You wear on a team, and their defensive coordinator is like, hey, man, we got to bring an extra body down here in the box. Bo Jackson is rolling, or whoever it is. Then it's, we got caught slipping, and now here's Jeremiah, Brandon Ennis, Chris Henry, whoever it's going to be this year behind us, and then the explosive plays will be there. Coach Day is always going to navigate his way through an offense and probably have a game plan and know, hey, first quarter we can show him this look, third quarter we show him this look, and be able to stack up the offensive game plan that way. But I just love when great players and programs don't just get caught up in, well, we know we're just uber talented and we can out-talent a lot of squads. No, let's focus in on those details and find a way to become even better. And that's what it sounds like Jeremiah Smith has been all in and doing right now, along with his teammates.
I caught a drop there that TLC missed.
I caught one. Because he's so focused on the nerfy right now.
He's trying to see. My brother threw me a trivia question that I'm thinking about.
Trivia.
Okay. Would you guys want to help me? Do you want to be my lifelines?
What sport?
NFL.
Sure.
So the theme is Jeremiah Love being a top 10 draft pick probably this year. Who was the last running back to win a Super Bowl with the team who drafted them in the top 10? I know. This has been racking my brain all segment, but I'm sure you guys are having a great segment right now.
Well, the one that you missed was when we were talking about the defense, and when defenses go, and I thought of Carl Lewis.
Uh-oh. Oh, my goodness. I don't have that one at the ready, but that is in the system somewhere. Let me see. Oh, here we go. 3, 2, and 1.
Uh-oh. All right, I'm not going to look this up, obviously. We're going to try to help you. But I was trying to... The hard part about this for me is to try to think of guys, and did they win with a team that were originally drafted them?
He said it's post-2000.
So the name that popped in my head was Terrell Davis.
Yeah, but he was a 6th-round pick.
Oh, it has to be a top 10 pick.
A running back drafted in the top 10.
That won a Super Bowl that was drafted by that team. Okay.
Who won a Super Bowl on the team that drafted him. And he gave me a hint. I've been thinking about this all segment long. I can't quit thinking about it.
He gave you a hint.
The hint is that he was not the leading rusher on the team the year they won the Super Bowl.
Okay.
So somebody...
He was on the back nine of his career when they won this?
Maybe it was a bust who was just still on the roster. Like Clyde Edwards-Helaire, for example, I'm sure won a Super Bowl with the Chiefs just because of when he got drafted, but
he was
32nd.
32nd, yeah, that's right.
But like, he would be an example of a first-round running back who would have been on the team, but not the guy.
Said he's got to be a top-5 pick, right?
Top 10 pick.
10 running back.
That's been sitting back here stewing over this trivia question.
How many times did you guess?
I guessed Marcus Allen originally, but I guessed that because I thought he was asking for Super Bowl MVPs. So I didn't even understand the question. But now, running back drafted in the top 10. I'll reread his phrasing. Okay. Because now this is the show. Who was the last running back to win a Super Bowl with the team who drafted them in the top 10? A top 10 running back who won a Super Bowl on the team that drafted him.
Marshawn Lynch wasn't a top 10 pick, was he?
No, but he got drafted by the Bills.
That's right. That's right.
Joshua Perry chimes in. He said Reggie Bush.
Well, doesn't he?
That might actually be it. Or did
Does
they won
have
the Super Bowl in 09. I think Reggie Bush might be the answer to this question.
Okay.
I'm going to throw that to my
brother.
Submit
that to your bro and see if that goes.
Shout out to JP, man. Joshua Perry bailing us out. Appreciate you, JP. Yeah. And your Louis bag and your Prada shoes and, you know, all the fancy stuff you got.
He really does.
I just want some. I just want him to let me borrow some of it. That's all.
Maybe you could rent one of his fleet of vehicles. You could do it all.
You know what? I think Pierre Thomas would have been the leading rusher on that Saints team.
Reggie Bush.
In 09. So if Reggie Bush was still on... Yeah, because I don't think he would have been on the Dolphins just yet. I like that
guess. Trying to think.
It is a good
guess. Don't tell us whether it's the answer or not, because I want to be able to keep guessing, if possible.
2000s, running back drafted in the top 10, won a Super Bowl on the team that drafted them, but was not the leading rusher on that team.
Oh, my goodness. That adds a whole nother element.
It's Reggie. I'm fully convinced JP is correct on this. It's Reggie.
I can get you an answer on the other side of the break.
Where was...
Now we're under pressure.
Yeah.
True that.
Where was Todd Gurley?
He was drafted by the Rams. I think he would have been just... No, he would have been at number 10, I believe. So he is eligible.
I wonder if I'm going to go with Gurley. Gurley, man.
Okay.
Boy, that is something. It's a good trivia question. All right, we'll come back with the answer. We won't make you listen to us stewing over it all day. And we'll have pressure cooker. Who goes in? It's a big weekend. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
A lot has changed in 30 years, but we're still that old shoe that feels worn in and well-loved. And well, we smell a little, but you've accepted that.
The Fan. From military life to a rewarding career in IT. Kickstart your...
What would it take for my child to only miss half a day of school for treatment?
What would it take to find a cure for childhood cancer?
It would take all of us to come together to support the research. Join us. Go to childrenscancer.org today.
Like a rite of spring, Tita Green begins Masters Week. Hosted by Skip Mossick, Lifetime Achievement Award winner by the Southern Ohio PGA. It adds a touch of class to the radio station.
Hey, everybody, we're all going to get late.
Saturday mornings at 9 on The Fan. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Chances of showers and storms for us this afternoon. Otherwise, it'll be partly sunny and breezy with highs getting up into the low 80s. For tonight's shower, thunderstorm chances linger overnight. Otherwise, mostly cloudy with lows in the 60s. And then for Saturday, we'll see partly sunny skies with chances of showers and storms developing in the afternoon. Breezy winds and highs in the low 80s. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
Just when you thought afternoons couldn't get any dumber.
You fellas been doing a bit of boozing, have you?
Common Man and Timmy.
Weekdays from 3 to 6.
Your home for dumb. The Fan. Rothman and Ice present Under Pressure.
Sponsored by 3D Cabinetry. 3DCabinetry.net. Where quality meets affordability.
All right, we felt under pressure in the last segment. So the answer is Reggie Bush. Because, first of all, there aren't that many running backs that get drafted in the top 10, and the ones that do are usually to bad teams. So, you know, you started thinking about guys like McCaffrey and Fournette and guys that weren't going to win Super Bowls with those teams that drafted them. I mean, Zeke certainly, we felt like when he went to the Cowboys. Oh, no.
Nerfy cooked. C.J. Adams.
Dinger.
Three-run dinger from C.J. Abrams. Yeah. Nerfy cooked.
That quickly.
Nerfy cooked.
Yeah.
With there were two outs in the bottom of the...
There was a runner at third, and I said to Maddie, all right, just walk this guy and set up a force, and he did. And I'm like, all right, good. Now we can get out of the inning.
Oh, man, and C.J. Abrams took it out of the park.
Just barreled.
Pulled a pitch that was up and away.
Yeah.
That's one of those where it's like, how do you even do that?
Yeah, there's a tank right there.
There's a barrel on that thing.
All right.
Oh, Sheehan.
No nerf.
Brutal.
Well,
all right, that's all right.
When I
got to keep working, that's all.
When I said yes run first inning in the Dodgers-Nats, yeah, I kind of thought it was going to be the Dodgers.
I mean, it's not that big of a deal. I just have to do the show for free now.
Yeah.
That's all. That's all. Ooh, I just, you know, this is a hobby. So, I mean,
listen.
It's just disposable cash.
When you got the bank account,
you have a job, or are you talking about gambling?
You're willing to work for free.
No, I'm just saying that. Now that I made the bet and lost, essentially now this I just did this show for free today. You're either gambling, which I like, and now he's out of the inning, of course. Weak grounder to first.
Yeah.
All right, so back to the conversation real quickly on, so I'm looking up some running backs that, I mean, we know Barkley, where was Barkley picked?
Giants?
Second like overall. Second overall, so, I think, okay. Yeah. So
in between,
he wasn't going to win with the Giants. CMC wasn't going to win with the Panthers.
Fournette, I believe, won one with the Buccaneers. Was he on that team?
He was. Him, AB, Gronk. Yeah, they had a couple
obviously
of those.
Obviously doesn't count, but.
Yeah, he got him one.
Was CMC a first-round pick?
He was eighth overall.
Yeah, he was. Okay.
Yep, out of Stanford.
Who else would have had a shot at this?
Did you already go through the Gurley sequence? Because we talked about him.
Gurley played in that Super Bowl they lost.
Yes, to the Patriots.
The Super Bowl that I actually attended.
The second worst Super Bowl.
It was a bad one.
Maybe of my life.
13-3. That's nasty.
That was a boring game. I think the Broncos Seahawks won in New York. That was
out of the gate. Like the Seahawks.
The snap went over Peyton's
head. Right out of the gate.
I actually didn't watch the second half of that game because it was just so ugly.
Mark Ingram wasn't a top 10 pick.
No.
CJ Spiller was.
Oh, yeah, but the Bills.
Mm-hmm. But obviously, they
were Clemson, right?
They haven't been there.
And then I think that's what, when they drafted him, that's probably when they moved on from Marshawn and sent him to Seattle.
Matty guaranteed that Trent Richardson was going to win one with the Browns, but he never did. and my boy Adrian Peterson. That wasn't going to happen. Not for me. So what year was this? 06?
The draft, draft would have been 06. This would have been Mario Williams, number one. Reggie Bush, number two. Vince Young, number three. The Brickishaw Ferguson, number four. One of the best names. AJ Hawk, number five.
All right, Maddie. Pressure time.
Yes, sir.
Some instant pressure right now?
I got a question for you because I'm curious whether or not there is instant pressure. News out of the college basketball world just 3 minutes ago. Arizona coach Tommy Lloyd has agreed to a new deal with the school. It's a 5-year deal. AR sources telling ESPN right now that the deal will start in 26-27 at nearly $7 million. And will average $7.5 million over the life of the deal. So now going into the Final Four tomorrow, is there now more pressure on Tommy Lloyd or less? How are you viewing this?
Less? Okay. I think so because now he would have been up for a lot of jobs, probably North Carolina job and others. I mean, he could have bet on himself.
Yeah.
And he could have said, let's worry about this after I win it all, and then maybe the price goes up. Or what he did is take the pressure off of himself by signing the deal. And that way, if he loses to Michigan, even though they made the Final Four, that
he secured the bat.
Listen, he's secured. This is a first-time head coach. Like,
absolutely.
And there's going to be no shame in losing to Michigan. But I think this deal is pretty good. You say it's $7 million a year?
$7.5 million per year.
So I think for a first-time head coach, he's already made decent money in his time there, but I actually think it takes the pressure off.
Mm-hmm.
He gets it out of the way. He doesn't have to answer any questions if they beat Michigan. Are you staying? What's going on with the contract? No, I actually think this takes the pressure off.
Okay, I'm with you on that.
All right, I'll put it on Michigan playing through the paint here. I think Arizona is a lead on paper. We've seen them. And I'm going to put it on Michigan's big man, Adai Mara. I think here are the stats to back it up. So Michigan is 7-0 when Mara scores at least 15. And they're 4-0 when he gets a double-double. And their success goes way up when Morris Johnson Jr. and Mara are both getting in they really get going in the paint. So they're 13-0 when Morris Johnson Jr. and Mara both score 25 or more combined in the same game. They're 10-0 when they collaborate for at least 30. So honestly, it's Mara having a big game. I know he can. And Arizona doesn't allow a lot of points per paint in per game in the paint. I'm looking at Texas Tech and Kansas, the two teams that beat Arizona this season. They each had a big performance from one of their interior players. Toppin had 31 for the Red Raiders. Badunga had 23-10 for the Jayhawks. So I'm going to connect those dots. When the opposing teams had a big man that's got a really good game in the paint going, it's led to Arizona losing. So I'm going to put on Mara, Michigan's big man.
I'm here for it. I'm going to start in the NBA, and I'm putting some pressure on Adam Silver, the commissioner of the association, and here's why. I think when we get to the end of this season, he and his team whatever that looks like, they're going to have to reassess, AR, I think, this 65-game rule when it comes to postseason awards and all NBA teams. And the reason why I'm saying this is because it's not going to feel right to me that Cade Cunningham and Anthony Edwards are not going to be on an all-NBA team, especially Cade Cunningham. And when you look at Cade, he played 61 games this year.
Close, but not
second
close
in the
enough.
League in assist. Just an absolute monster.
Wemby is going to play 65, right?
I think so.
I don't know.
I think he is because he's up for the MVP. So he's going to make it.
The only reason I ask you that is because I remember a month
you
ago.
You got your ticket. Your MVP bet.
Well, yeah, but when I said it to you, I was scared about one thing, that maybe he wouldn't hit the minimum.
I'm pretty sure
he's
going
to
make it.
He probably has to be because he's in the
conversation. I'll double check. Yeah. But I just think they need to reassess it. I'm not saying it needs to absolutely change. Maybe we change the number and tweak that just a little bit. But, man, it's just not – when you look back in the history books, Cade Cunningham not being on an all-NBA team this season, that's just not right. It's just not right. If a guy gets popped for a suspension or something stupid like that, then I would understand that. But I think voters should be allowed to put Cade Cunningham on an all-NBA team this season. So I'm putting some pressure on Adam Silver in the league to figure this out and come out with something new.
I think there's a little pressure here. The Masters field is set. There's one invitation that can be earned at the Texas Open in San Antonio. So everybody wants the green jacket. They want the invite. But if you would ask me the trivia question, who has a streak of 33 straight majors?
Who has a streak of 33 straight majors?
Who hasn't won a major?
Who hasn't won a major?
I would not have guessed this guy. It may have come to me, but I don't know if I would have.
The guy that you and Vegas are betting on?
No.
Oh.
Who's he betting on? I don't know.
I don't know. Did you guys have a wager with each other on the Masters? And
oh, no, we do. When you were gone, yes.
Who's the fella?
Sung J.M.
Yeah.
If he's top 50, if he finishes top 50, I think he's in the field. I want to make sure. Because if he's not, the bet's off. We admitted that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So if he finishes top 50, what? What happens?
The rule was he had to swing the club and make contact with the ball once.
Yes, meaning he has to start the tournament.
Meaning if he tripped and fell and broke his nose on his way to the first tee box.
If he pulled a Dustin Johnson in a rented house wearing socks on hardwood floors. Man.
Forgot about that excuse.
Wait, what?
You remember that story?
No, Justin Johnson, he got hurt.
Yeah, he said he was helping Paulina get groceries out of the car, and he slipped in his tube socks on hardwood floor.
Why? And he missed the tournament?
He missed the tournament, yes. A lot of people believe that he was suspended, and he wasn't allowed to play, really, in the tournament. Although he was warming up, though. So who knows? Maybe it was just all a show. Let me see if M's in the field. It says he is. Yeah, Matt, if he finishes top 50 at the Masters this year, I believe the bet was that he has to take me to play golf.
Okay. Course of your choosing?
Or probably where he plays.
Sure, it's a nice...
It's elite.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. Oh, no, Scotty Vegas.
So, I'm putting the pressure on Tony Finau. Tony Finau has a streak of 33 straight majors. And he's played Augusta 9 straight years. And to get there next week, he has to win this week. He was the first round leader at 6-under.
Okay.
He will tee off at 218, now chasing a pretty good group. So I'll put it on Tony Finau. We'll come back in 2 minutes with our friend Dan Dockich. We'll get his picks for the Final Four. That's next. Rothman and I.
Around the globe needs help. And when you help protect them, you become a friend of the San Diego Zoo Wildlife Alliance.
Thank you for being a friend.
Travel down the road and back again.
Your heart is true, you're a pal and a confidant.
Thank you for helping protect wildlife around the globe. Without you, there's no them. Learn more at sdzwa.org/friend.
Disasters strike, fires, hurricanes, earthquakes. Direct Relief delivers. No politics, no red tape. Direct Relief is a lifeline to people in crisis. So check them out at directrelief.org. And if you can, donate.
Rothman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door showroom on Gemini Parkway.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
like trying to snap a picture of Bigfoot. Nobody has ever witnessed Maddie eating a carb. This is Rothman and Ice.
All right, it's that time of the week. Here we go. Our guy Daniel J. still out west, Vegas, somewhere. And we've got him now. And I've got to wish him some congratulations. So you're extending without kick. But this means that when I drive from, I don't know, Merrillville to Richmond, Indiana, I'm not going to be listening to my boy?
No, Outkick came to me with a deal I could not refuse. And part of the deal was we want you to be exclusive. I guess I could have fought it, but no radio. You know, if I'm going to do YouTube, it's going to be with them or my own, you know, the channel that they've set up for our show. So, ladies and gentlemen, youtube.com/@ don't at me with Dan Dockett. Like, comment, and subscribe. There you go. How about that?
Just go full Kenny Loggins. Don't fight it. It'll do your heart so good. All right. I knew you'd get that, so thank you. Let me take you back. All right, two things. The Duke meltdown. Where did you stand on whether he should have burned the timeout or to instruct, give his team more instruction or keep it because in case they couldn't get it inbounded. I know they got it to a kid, the other boozer, who's 18 years old, but they didn't need to get it over the timeline. You knew UConn would foul. Where were you on that whole last debacle?
Well, I'm fascinated by the world we live in because in my day when I played, nobody blamed Bob Knight or Gene Katie. They always blamed the players. And now everybody blames the coaches. I mean, Shire, they inbounded the ball. He probably did want to keep that in case they got trapped in some way or they had a... So I get that. And he got it to his point guard in the middle of the court. I mean, I don't know what else you can do with the court spread and two guys wide open. You know, you teach guys fake up and throw low, fake down, throw up, and the kid panicked. And, you know, the truth of the matter is people ridicule, you know, AAU basketball and all that kind of stuff. But I guarantee you that Boozer kid's been in that situation 1,000 times because of the amount of games that he's played. So I really don't fault anything other than the kid making a bad play.
But shouldn't Shire have told him just to hold the ball? Shouldn't, like, they didn't need to do anything. They were going to get fouled. Right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And the kid knew that. The kid just panicked. You could see because one of the things about panicking is you see something in basketball anyway. You see something and you immediately are excited and you just go to what's natural. What's natural in that situation is not to be calm, pass fake, go under unless, you know, you're Steve Nash or in your 10th year in the NBA. The panicked reaction is to do what the kid did. And, you know, when you just throw it over the top against athletes, you got no shot. And I guarantee you they've gone over that 7,000 times. That is a fundamental of every press break, that you fake catch. You know, you hold it for a two count unless you're on the sideline. You got to get it through the press or unless you're just breaking an initial trap, you turn and you go. But when you get it in the middle of the court, it's no different than the middle of a zone. And the rule is catch, turn, pass fake, hold up, go. And, you know, in a zone in half court, it's catch, turn, shot, look down, look opposite. Well, he turned, he looked down, and he had two guys wide open. He just panicked. And, that's going to happen. And then Mullins hits the shot that is, going to be heard around the world and puts him back, and you got to give everybody credit. But, I've said this forever, and we've talked about this. It's a make or miss world, brother, in the tournament. He misses that shot, nobody gives a rat's ass about turnover. Right. You know, it's just, and he didn't miss it.
No doubt. Tough look for sure for Duke. Let's talk about this Final Four, Double D, because we got two number ones going at it tomorrow night over there in Indy, Michigan and Arizona. What should we be looking out for in this game? We're going to be some of the pathways to victories for both teams.
Well, first off, I don't care if I'm at a blackjack table and I'm hot as hell. I am going to go watch this game because this game is, I think this might be the two best teams or two of the best teams I've ever seen in my life in college basketball. And I'll tell you why. Both are uber athletic. The bodies on kids these days are just huge. The skill level is incredible. And they've been the best teams and they've whipped people's ass basically for the entire year. And now what Arizona did to Purdue, I'm going to give the, I'm going to give the advantage to Arizona, but if you told me this would go six overtimes and somebody wins it on a half-court shot, I'd say, yeah, you're probably right. But I think this is going to be going into the game. And so, you know, a lot of times games don't do what you hope they do, but going into it, this is an unbelievable matchup between two teams that are playing so damn well. I mean, again, what Arizona did in the second half, they swallowed up. They were more physical. If you watched off the ball in that game, and I'm interested to see how this game is called, because off the ball, Arizona was just mugging Purdue's cutters. I mean, they were. I was talking to Fletcher Lawyer last night at the ISU game, Illinois State game, and I'm like, man, he goes, that was the most physical game I think I played, 150 starts or whatever. And watch that in this game. What? Don't watch the ball. You know where the ball is. Watch off the ball, and are the referees going to let them be uber physical? If they do, advantage Arizona. If they don't, advantage Michigan with their skill level. Now, think about this just for a second, though. Think about this. It's one of the few teams that I've ever said on this show or my shows, well, you know, whoever makes the most shots. Hell, Arizona has advanced by making five threes in a game.
Right. They don't shoot them.
I'm telling you, no, they don't. So they're going to get to the foul line. They're going to guard the crap out of you. And I'm anxious to see how the game is called. More physical, Arizona.
Yeah. In your mind, is that the de facto winner who comes out of that would be your pick? Or do you have to kind of see UConn, Illinois play out? And then, I mean, we could get an all-Big Ten final, but would your lean be that the winner of Arizona-Michigan would be the team to win it all?
Yeah, I mean, based on how they've gone all year, but, you know, they play the late game, and who knows when that game's going to get started, who knows when that game's going to get over. And one of the things about playing, man, you can't sleep after. So now, you know, you got, I think they still drug test, they may not, but now, all of a sudden, you get back to the hotel. I don't know what the hell time you're going to get sleep. Now, I know you got the day off on Sunday, but it's weird. I swear to you, it's just weird, and it's a late game Monday. Yes, my answer is yes. But the mitigating circumstances of when you play, and then I'm anxious to see if UConn, this is stupid because of how much they've won, but I don't care who you are. This is the first time for this team. This team, this year's team of UConn, I'm anxious to see if that win propels a confidence level that maybe they didn't see early in the year. And I'm same thing with Illinois. Yeah, I was talking to Brad Underwood this week, and he's like, you know, these kids that I have, these Serbian kids, they don't care about anything other than winning. They're going to be in the gym. They're excited, and they have a real toughness about them. So I'm anxious to see. The other game, both teams, crazy coaches, tough kids. I just don't know if that late game isn't going to affect, because let's be honest, Illinois is really talented. UConn's really talented. UConn is really has a pedigree for winning these things. I don't think it's a walk, but I do think it is the, you know, what is it, de facto, seemingly national championship game.
All right, 30 seconds here, and then we'll cut you loose. Yep. So you can kick some ass on the golf course. What did you think of the Dan Hurley and the fun little moment, jacket, you know, off his shoulder, here comes the ref, and he kind of like puts his forehead to his forehead. Some people freaked out about it. Like it was, I thought it was just an odd, he was just caught up in a moment. It was a fun, I didn't think he was creating any weird contact there. I'm glad they didn't call anything. What did you have to say
about
it?
Let me throw this out, though. I guess what happened was, according to one of Roger Ayers' cohorts told me, that Ayers went over and said, who are they playing? Duke has 0.4 of a second or whatever. Mm-hmm. That's the conversation. But I got to tell you, Danny Hurley's a brilliant basketball coach, obviously, but that was an incredibly stupid move. Because you never want somebody to own you. You know, you never want somebody to have something on you, regardless. Maybe it's money, maybe it's something you've done, they have on video, whatever. And that referee at that moment owned Danny Hurley, because if Roger Ayers wasn't that guy, mm-hmm. and he calls a technical foul just based on appearance, look, and what the referees are supposed to do, how bad would that have been? That was a dumb move by Danny. I'm with you. I didn't think it was egregious. I'm glad he didn't. But I don't know why you would even think about putting yourself, even though you're hepped up, no doubt, but you've been hepped up before. And I don't know why you would ever have put yourself in that situation if you're Hurley. I really don't.
Yeah, he was out of his mind a little bit, and it didn't cost him, which is good, I guess, for all of us.
Yeah.
All right, my man,
no,
be well.
No question today? Yeah. No question?
Well, here's the question. Nothing. All right, here's the question. You and Lee are going on a first date. Go all the way back. First date. You're going to you go to a baseball game because that's fun. It's casual. You like baseball. She probably likes baseball. You guys suddenly on a first date, you don't know each other that well, but you're on a first date, and you get put on the kiss cam. Are you going in or are you reading and reacting to her?
In my situation, because I did know Lee, but on our first date, we did, one of our first dates, we went, I'm sticking my tongue right down that woman's throat.
Oh, my, that's a flagrant. That could be a flagrant,
yep.
But.
Yep, and she would have done the same.
Okay.
Because, you know, how could you resist all this? You know what I'm
that's
saying?
That's right. Well, I think it's more of a tribute to your scouting ability, that you scouted the opponent,
yeah.
And you knew exactly how they would the opposition is going to react. Okay, that's one for all in. All right.
Yeah, all in. All in.
All right,
all
brother.
In.
Be well,
thanks,
my man.
Guys.
Talk soon.
See you, my friend.
You got it. Dan Dockich, Double D on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fangist Hotline. And real quickly, I do think there'd be a lot more outrage. Well, clearly there would, because there hasn't been that much outrage. That if they tee up Hurley there, and UConn winds up losing the game, put Duke on the free throw line, they hit both, they lose the game. I think there's crazy outrage that he called it versus not.
Oh, yeah, people are all over the ref if that's the case. I think, but here's the other thing. There's some people out there that I don't believe love everything Hurley does.
I agree with that.
You know what I mean?
Stealing that kid's moment on the shot.
I'm glad he didn't do it.
I am too.
I like when refs, umpires, whatever it is, allow humans to have human moments. It wasn't anything that had venom behind it for Hurley. He was caught up in the moment and excited. And I think that's just what it was. And I'm glad the ref did what
he did.
This
wasn't where he didn't call a foul or something. This was outside the lines of the game a little bit. All right, we're going to come back with the Buckeye Bulletin and our guy James Laurinaitis talking about retooling and reloading at linebacker. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
Wake up with the Fan. Eat lunch with the Fan. Go to bed with the Fan. Dream about the Fan. Then change your sheets. Gross.
Ew, you guys are gross, but stick around in case I don't find anyone else.
The Fan.
Hey, what's up? It's Tebow.
Best way to make sure you don't miss any of your favorite fan shows.
Oh, no.
Download the Fan app, silly.
God damn it, I knew that.
App Store, Google Play, or just scream right at your phone. Psst, you can also listen to Buckeye Games. Do it now.
I'm Jeff Hogan.
Health is sick. With those four words, the innocence and joy of childhood disappears. But Starlight has taught us four other words that make all the difference. The power of play. Happy kids heal faster. That's why Starlight Children's Foundation delivers happiness through gaming, toy deliveries, and more to hospitals across the country. Learn more at starlight.org.
Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by KDHVAC, doing whatever it takes to keep your home comfortable. The Fan, Rothman and Ice present Buckeye Bulletin.
Sponsored by Window Nation. Save up to 50% on new windows from windownation.com.
All right, little Buckeye Bulletin for you. All right, so you're replacing potentially three top 10 picks in the NFL draft defensively. That's not nothing. And a couple of them coming out of that linebacker area. And so we're looking at some names that may not be registering or moving the needle yet for Buckeye fan. You know, Peyton Pierce, is he going to take over probably the starting middle linebacker? He was three last year, and Arvell Reese did that, and Cody Simon did it a couple years ago. And we know about Riley Pettijohn and what his talent can be, and they're going to have him very much in the mix. But James Laurinaitis, linebacker's coach, legendary Buckeye, talking about the Will linebacker and Christian Allegro.
When I caught wind that Christian was going to get into the portal, I honestly was like, okay, I'm going to watch two games. I'll watch Alabama. I'll watch him against us because I know what our guys are at tight end. I knew what Will Kaczmarek, what he was like as a blocker. And to see him with the club on in that game, fighting and the toughness. I honestly noticed his size, like, on the field. I was like, gosh, Zero over there is a big, big son of a gun. And just thought there was, like, a veteran. Like, we're very talented, but we're young and green. And so there's a very, there's like a veteran. I've been in big games before. I've played the top opponents before. And the scene isn't too big. Not to say that it will be for the other guys, but you just don't know. And so it's another guy to bring in the room, I think, and just compete for playing time just like everybody else. And I tell the guys every day, like, your practice reps will determine how many guys that we will play and rotate. And that's reality. I hope it's, you know, five or six, or it can be two. It honestly just depends on how they prepare and really how they perform.
He's got to know him well. He's been in the Big Ten, right? Three seasons at Wisconsin, and the fact he signs with Ohio State out of the portal not long ago. He's got the 1 year left. He'll spend it with Ohio State. Pretty good place to try to get it done. But dude played more than 35 games with the Badgers. He started probably maybe less than half of them, but certainly is a kid that has kind of blossomed, right? Three-star kid, wasn't anything crazy in recruiting out of high school, but...
Talking about James?
Talking about Christian.
Oh, I'm saying that's his story, too.
Oh, yeah, right. Maybe sees a lot, right. Maybe, you know, sees a lot of himself. Yeah,
three-star kid out of Minnesota that turned into a dude.
That would have been a great follow-up. You see a lot of yourself in him.
Sure, I'm sure it is. But no, I think... I love that you brought up his experience, AR, because that's... That's the beauty of the transfer portal, right? Is getting guys that have been there, done that, played within this conference. And like James was talking about, you fire up the tape against some of the big boys and you see him holding his own in the skill set with the experience. You bring those guys into your program and they should be able to help you right away. And so the second level of that defense for years and years at this program has obviously been really, really good. The last 2 years, it's been rock solid, right? With Cody Simon and Sonny Styles and those guys just flying around. You look at what Arvell was able to do as well. So these guys know they have big shoes to fill. But the guy that we just heard from, he's exactly the guy you want leading the charge if you're a Buckeye fan in that room, is James. Because he's been there, done that, and knows what it takes every day to become the linebacker that you need to become.
The other guy is Peyton Pierce. And Pierce, different than Christian a little bit in that, I think he was more of a four-star kid. He was a top 200 guy. He was a high school butt kiss finalist at the position. And so he's been around. He's been in the program and kind of tried to shine on special teams, did play in some defensive situations. And let's hear what James has to say about Peyton Pierce.
I mean, you saw it with Peyton when you recruited him. You knew what he was about. Tough. Instinctual. I actually started recruiting him when I was at Notre Dame. That's when I had awareness of Peyton, and we actually had him come up to South Bend. And then I took the job and came back home, and it was like one of the first phone calls I made. I was just trying to get them on campus, and the reason being was you knew how instinctual and tough he was, and he was a throwback Mike linebacker. And the thing that's great about Peyton is he's so competitive. And he's a perfectionist and all those things, as you should be as a Mike. You know, he's been trying to nip at the heels over and over. And honestly, I think that he has pushed the guys in front of him because of how hard he practices. He earned respect of everybody right away freshman year with how physical he was in the box. And now it's fun to kind of see him find his voice even more. I was comfortable playing Peyton last year in big moments. And it was good to get a healthy rotation in with him, Arvell, and Sonny.
It's good to hear that, right? That last year James saw what he wanted to see. And it's like, hey, you know, if one of those guys unfortunately goes down, I have confidence in him. So now you take that as a fan and you hear that and you think about the work that Peyton Pierce has been putting in all season and what he could be this year. And that has to be exciting. And for Peyton, it's got to be an exciting time as well because he's seeing a pathway to a lot of reps this year. When you come to a program like this, clearly that's what you want, because what on the other side, what could be on the other side is obviously your NFL dreams coming into focus too if you play well. And so that's going to be a lot of eyeballs on that unit this year, because those guys have to step up and answer the call, because we've just seen it now for a while that you better be a dude at linebacker here at Ohio State. Yeah.
By the way, on the all-name team, I would think Sincere Johnson is going to be up there on the all-name team for Ohio State.
I'm here for it.
And he'll be able to back it up because that dude was number one in our state coming out. All right, we're going to get to the top of the hour here, but before we do, let's hand out the VIP tickets to the Classic. So this will put somebody in a very good spot with How would I say this, Maddie? They're in a VIP area.
Seats where you're used to sitting. Just say it, where I usually sit. It's the Anthony Rothman row.
Kenny Anderson in studio with us not long ago. We asked him to break two ties. One was basketball related, and one was geographic related.
Mm.
Give TLC one of them.
Okay.
I'm looking to see if he might know this answer.
It took me a second, okay. But I do have it now.
Okay.
614?
614 is definitely the area code.
821-9710 is TLC's hotline number. You get it right, you're going to be a VIP here. Doesn't that sound great? 614-821-9710 is the number. Get in here.
Yeah. VIP tickets. They'll include reserve floor seating, complimentary food and beverage in the exclusive area, 3-on-3 hoops. It is free to the public. Classic4Columbus.com is the site. Check it out. The event is May 2nd from noon to 4 at Ohio State in the RPAC, but we'll give away our VIP tickets next and come back top of the hour. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
Catch T-Bone and Tybus weekday mornings from 6 to 9. If you're not completely satisfied, we'll rewind time and erase your brain. For real, the Fan.
Get ego.
You served behind the desk.
You served in combat.
You did 4 years and got out.
You were drafted.
You gave 20 years.
You gave exactly what your country needed.
And so did you.
When you raised your hand and swore an oath to your country, when you put your name on a dotted line, you became part of only 1% of Americans who did the same. You are a veteran.
You are a veteran.
You are a veteran. Because no matter when, where, or how you served, you made a sacrifice for your country, and you deserve support.
If you're struggling with life after service, don't wait. Reach out.
Reach out to a loved one, to a fellow veteran, to VA.
Find resources at va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
The best words to hear at the TSA security checkpoint? You're good to go. All it takes is a little preparation. Get to the airport early. Bring a carry-on bag that fits in the overhead. And have an acceptable ID. Not all state-issued IDs will cut it. Check out tsa.gov/ID and see which TSA acceptable IDs make the grade, like a real ID or passport.
Before you jet, do a little prep, and you're good to go. Check out tsa.gov/ID or the MyTSA app.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good afternoon, I'm Isaiah Jacob. Last night, the CBJ dropped their fifth game in a row as they attempt to push for the playoffs. It was Carolina beating the Jackets 5-1, putting them into a three-way tie for the final wildcard spot in the East. They look to end the losing streak tomorrow at 7 when they host Winnipeg. Up in Cleveland, the Cavaliers clinched a top 6 seed in the NBA playoffs last night with their 118-111 win against the Golden State Warriors. This will guarantee the Cavs will not participate in the play-in tournament, and with 5 games to go, the Cavs need 2 more wins to clinch a top 4 seed and home court advantage in the first round. A big night at historic Crew Stadium. For the first time ever, the Columbus Aviators will host the first home game of the inaugural season. They play the DC Defenders at 8 p.m. In MLB action, the Guardians host the Cubs at 4:10 and the Reds play the Rangers at 4:05. The Clippers also in action tonight at 6:15. They host Indianapolis. This update was sponsored by Care Heating and Cooling. When you need a company you can trust, call 1-800-COOLING.
Most shows just skim the surface, but Rothman and Ice feel like the biggest story of the day deserves a closer look. It's time for A Deeper Dive.
Sponsored by Low T Center. Low T Center, reinventing men's healthcare.
All right, final hour of the program. We'll toss some chin music with J. Lou Guard's home opener. We'll talk about the Reds and the rest of the league with him, bottom of the hour. Who won the tickets? VIP.
We got one, Mike, in Grandview Heights, so not too far away.
Hey, shout out to you, Mike. What answer did he give you? Because he had a couple options he could have rolled with. What did he pick?
The pizza.
Okay. Right. Okay. Kenny Anderson says New York. It's not even close.
Yeah, that one I wasn't going to die on that hill. I didn't care. Like, Ollie,
They're both good.
I don't, yeah, they're like, both that good. That is a weird, it's always an interesting conversation. They're both so different, right? I'm not going to turn down either one.
How do you feel about, I believe it's Detroit style with the sauce on top? Do I have that right? Like where they drizzle the sauce on top. Is that Detroit style?
I didn't know about
making that up.
I don't know if that's
I've seen that before.
Like a Sicilian cut or a square cut.
I think Detroit style. I know the cut that you're talking about, but I can see.
Yeah.
That they put the sauce on top of the cheese and pepperoni or whatever you get.
It's not like baked in
it's
there.
It's not universal, yeah. But it's an option.
Okay.
Yeah. Listen, you know where I stand. Pizza is pizza. It's great. Mostly it has to be cooked. It cannot be like, I wish
what
they
would
have
cooked.
Don't.
Oh, like
it's got to
be well done. It's got to be crispy. It can't be. Yeah.
Do you have the patience when it comes to leftover pizza to put it in the oven, or do you just zap it?
When you zap it, it's awful.
It's not.
But I don't have the patience.
Yeah.
No.
I do because it's worth that extra. I don't know. 5-7 minutes, yeah. Whatever it may be.
I don't know. That's a whole preheat situation, and
I know.
Another
I know.
20 minutes.
But this the zapping the microwave pizza is just it's not it.
I know it's not good.
Neither is cold pizza, by the way.
Not good, but you'll eat it. I will. It's not
You're
good.
Desperate.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, that's right. I mean, we've all been there.
Because cold pizza, microwaved pizza is better than cold pizza, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm always going to err on that.
So. All are fine.
Yeah, they're fine. There's different levels of it. Like,
I'm in a rush and I'm like, I don't have, 45 seconds in the microwave or whatever. No problem.
When would you not have
45 seconds?
If it's a grab and go situation. If I'm just like, hey, man, I'm heading out the door. Maybe I'm in the past.
I know, but 45 seconds, if that's going to ruin the situation.
Just be late.
Maybe I got a buddy who's picking me up in my driveway right now, and I just got to be, I don't want to keep him waiting 45 more seconds.
Oh, he can wait. 45 seconds? Or he's just like, hey, I'm leaving you. Find your own ride.
I don't know. Don't you feel pressure when someone's picking you up and you see their car in your driveway?
Well, when you get the text that says here.
Yeah.
45 right. seconds, I think they'll be okay. I think everybody's okay 45
under
seconds.
Under a minute.
Be like, hey, man, I got to pop some pizza in the microwave real quick. They'd be like, what?
It'll be out in a minute, literally.
Yeah. I mean, if you feel that bad about it, then cut it down to 25 seconds.
Sure.
At least
some lukewarm pizza.
Yeah, at least get something going there. But yeah, if you're opening the fridge and just grabbing the
I guess I'm more courteous to
my
chauffeurs.
You're right. You're some credit. I do like you acknowledging punctuality because I think that is a big deal in respecting people's time.
Well, don't you feel the internal pressure if you see the car in your driveway?
I'll say this.
I'm hustling.
If I texted you like AR said and said, Cole, I'm here. We're about to go to AR's to hang out. And I'm in your driveway for a minute. I'm not going to think that you're going to throw some pizza
in the microwave. I'm like,
no, you don't tell them. Well, I don't know what's worse. You making him wait a minute or deciding that you're going to eat in his car.
I know. I thought about that as soon as I said, and I was waiting for somebody to bring it up.
Uh-huh.
You got to bring.
That wasn't getting past me.
You got to bring a paper towel, obviously, to like hold over. You probably can't grab a plate.
I would rather wait 5 minutes, have you scarf it down inside, exactly. And then come out.
No way. Like, look, I know that we're all punk ass kids in the generation. We're all sitting on our phones. And so it's like, oh, I need to wait 5 minutes. I'll play a game on my phone. I'll scroll through social media. I can kill 5 minutes on my phone. But I'm not doing that.
If we don't have anywhere to be, like if we're just going to do a bar and watching a game together and you're like, hey, I'll be out in a couple minutes, I'm good with that personally. Now, we get to 15 minutes and I'm sitting outside.
Yeah.
Then you're Ubering to the bar.
Would you explain?
What do you mean?
Hey, I got some pizza I got to throw in the microwave real quick. I'd be like, what the hell are they talking about?
I'd be like, yeah, you're good. Heat up a slice and let's go. You know?
What if you're not bringing any pizza for the driver.
Okay.
So what if you're making him wait and it's only one slice of pizza that you have left over and then it's like, you made me wait and you didn't bring me any?
You're on to something. I think there needs to be a text of, hey, are you hungry? You want a slice?
Yeah, we're all going to have a slice on the ride. Like, I don't know if the driver is going to feel left out of that. You didn't show up to your place starving and hoping you'd bring food out.
So like, when you go to fast food places, I want to hear your answer to this question. And you're at the drive-thru. You got three options. You can either eat in the parking lot. You can either like park your car and eat right then and there. And if you're like doing a road trip, maybe that's your option. You could just, if you're going straight home, a lot of people would probably just leave their food in their passenger seat and just eat at home. Or do you like pull out the fries and put it in a cup holder and like eat and drive at the same time? Like, are you impatient like that?
So for me, And this will connect with a moment that AR really enjoys when he talks about that moment where you go down to the basement, you got the pizza, whatever your drink is, and the game's about to start or whatever.
That walk is you a love great that. Walk.
For me, when you bring food home and you start to just lay it all out and find, like, I need that moment. So I don't chip away at the food on the way to the crib, nor do I pull to the side at that fast food. I got to be home and I want to see everything that I bought in front of me and feast after that.
All right, so this is more of what kind of food? Because I've told Maddie this. I've made some horrible choices on the road as far as food. It's
trying to multitask?
Yeah, burritos and rice is everywhere.
I told Maddie about a road burrito. That's not good. Oh, or even like a
beans and salsa fire.
Like if you get a sub with shredded lettuce and like cheese, that's a problem.
It's the sauce.
That too.
I'm not even that worried about the lettuce and the cheese.
Well, you don't
it's when that just drips, and you're like, what did I just do? The fries are not making it home without having one. That's impossible. But I'm not doing what you're doing, which is taking them out and putting them in the cup holder. I'm just reaching into the bag and grabbing a few on the way.
Where's the bag?
In the passenger seat.
Yeah, so you're reaching. That's kind of a far reach.
It's not that far. I mean, it's left side of the passenger seat.
You said that like that's so exotic. Oh, you put your fries in the cup holder.
It's no,
like,
no, I just... No,
which, by the way, I don't even know if I've ever done that. I just thought of it as I was asking the question.
All right, well, I was taking you at your word. That's all.
Okay.
I didn't know if you had like the bag in your lap and like you're just reaching here, but it sounds like you're like leaning all the way over. No, it's like,
I think is more dangerous than bag in the passenger seat. Because I could, like, you know what I mean? It affect the wheel. You're driving with one hand, trying
if
to reach
you have
down.
To lean
yeah, but you're driving
at
with
all,
your thighs. You're good.
I can't do it. I'm not capable of doing that.
All I said was the bag is just to my right. I don't think it's a reach. I'm not. If the fries fell over, I'm not leaning over to grab them. I just thought it was interesting that you were going to take the bag of fries or the cup of fries out of the bag and put
in the
them
cup holder.
In. Yeah, that's all. I was just, that's commitment.
What if you have two drinks in your cup holder? Then what do?
Probably wait till I get home.
Yeah. Okay. It's the kind of food. I'm usually not.
What's acceptable
unwrapping
to eat on the
drive sandwich
for you? Give me some.
I think you can get away with a sandwich of
burger?
Some kind.
No,
yeah,
no more burritos.
Chicken sandwich or some
no
kind
Euros
of
see,
chicken
with
sandwich.
Filet-O fish.
That mayonnaise and that chicken sandwich can get a little messy.
I don't get mayonnaise on it anymore.
Chicken salad sandwich.
Rothman's doing a road Euro that's like piled with lettuce that's overflowing. You know, it's unwrapping. It's falling in his lap.
It's the sauce, man. I've made some bad moves, road trips to Chicago or whatever.
You got
to
do what you got to do. Sometimes one of my good friends, when we go out, like he'll get like a burger and fries, wings and fries, whatever it is. He doesn't touch anything but the fries water.
I
right
can't
away.
Imagine eating wings on the road as a driver.
No, just like out somewhere.
Oh, okay,
we go
right.
to eat. He's so heavy on you have to eat the fries at a certain temperature.
He's right about that.
That he won't touch whatever the side, well, that is the side dish, whatever like the main dish is, if you will, before he eats all of his fries. Like, and he eats them so fast.
Yeah.
If there's a hint of it getting lukewarm or cold, he's good. He's out.
So I'm so with him on this. I do it. Everybody does it. We bring home food and we microwave it up and it's, but man, I hate it. I don't like
it. I feel you. I feel you. He's also the friend that claims that he doesn't like cheese, but also That's loves right. pizza. So he won't.
I'm him.
Exactly. Your face TLC that you just made.
That didn't make any sense.
He'll get a hamburger. And he can't eat a cheeseburger, but I'll watch him scarf down a whole medium pizza with all the cheese in the world on it. It makes
That's
no
odd.
Sense.
Yeah.
That's
crazy,
like
right?
half of what pizza. It's bread and cheese.
I've questioned him for years on it. He still can't give me a clear answer. I don't know.
Now, what I like to do, and I guess I would kind of fall in line with your buddy who's just eating the fries first, because I do like to have the fries warm, dip them in the cold frosty, have that contrast. And so I won't even like, I won't take a spoonful of the Frosty until I've finished my fries.
The sweet and salty combination is elite.
Because I don't want to have to like dip my fries all the way down to the bottom of the
Wendy's
Frosty.
Wendy's fries get scrape it up the top. Cold so fast. I think they make it colder faster than most. I don't know why. I feel like there's something going on there.
Okay.
Maybe it's just it's a thicker fry.
I wonder if there's a study of which fries hold heat the longest. Waffle. Crinkle. It is waffle.
I've done the research. Yeah, I have. It's waffle.
Okay.
It is.
Waffle. And that's interesting because they have all the holes in it. So why would
those
hold the most heat?
I don't know.
Can we call Bill Nye?
The dispersion of the heat through the waffle fry.
I think that's a siren alert. Dispersion? Yeah, we haven't had
that. All right. Dispersion. I didn't think that was that big of a deal. Fired up. We haven't had one in a while.
Dispersion.
That's worthy.
Is it even a word?
That's
worthy. All right, we're going to come back. And we're going to get after this. I don't know if this is fair or unfair, the comp that they're giving to this quarterback. And maybe it is equal to draft status. We'll tell you about it next. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
Tweet from a listener. Are you carrying the Buckeye game today? Considering we've never not carried one, yes. The answer is yes. The Fan.
Hey, it's Anthony.
Connie Britton. I support Feeding America because they help provide over 6 billion meals to people in need each year. Learn more at feedingamerica.org. Feeding America. 200 food banks strong.
One more play-by-play.
Yay!
It's on the Fan, too. March Madness, Reds baseball, Ohio State athletics, and much more. Find the Fan, too, on the Fan's HD2 channel. And 1460 on the AM dial.
Hello, it's Dorg.
And weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Chances of showers and storms for us this afternoon. Otherwise, it'll be partly sunny and breezy with highs getting up into the low 80s. For tonight's shower, thunderstorm chances linger overnight. Otherwise, mostly cloudy with lows in the 60s. And then for Saturday, we'll see partly sunny skies with chances of showers and storms developing in the afternoon. Breezy winds and highs in the low 80s. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
We've been your Jackets flagship station since day one. All the goals, all the action, all the memories. Your home for the Columbus Blue Jackets, the Fan, Ohio sports destination. Rockman and Ice present Pre-Snap Reads.
Sponsored by Dr. Mark Levy. If you're snoring and not sleeping, call Dr. Mark Levy today at 1-800-MORE-SLEEP.
You guys remember when Joe Burrow was coming out? It was a little bit different than Mendoza for sure. But they were similar as far as the transfer and working out and the 1 year, just one of the great 1 year turnarounds in sports history. And certainly Burrow provided that at LSU and Mendoza provided that for Indiana. Burrow had really high IQ, quarterback IQ, and the intangibles. And it was really cool to watch him dissect the defense. And the guy they comped him to at the time that I remember was Kurt Warner. Like that was when Burrow was coming out in 2020 in the virtual draft. Mm. The virtual draft. I felt like that was his comp. And now, so he gets comped to a Hall of Famer, and now Mendoza is getting comped to Burrow.
Okay. I've heard Burrow. You had one, too, that you kind of liked as well, I believe, in, who was it, AR? Remind me, the quarterback that you were kind of hearing and liking maybe the comp for Mendoza?
Well, Cousins. But it was, I know Cousins is not as comparable because he was a fourth rounder, and I wasn't trying to take the heat off Mendoza. I just felt like that's kind of who he reminded me of.
And I don't even know if it has to be the round for round comparison, maybe. As much as it is the skill sets, right, that you see in a guy, you know, his arm strength or his touch or his accuracy or his ability to read defense or his mobility, whatever. Like, I think comps can be fun, but sometimes it can be unnecessary to do it as well. But I understand when you're a Field Yates or Daniel Jeremiah or, you know, Mel Kiper, you're asked to do these things. So you got to throw a name out there. If you're Mendoza, I think you just got to ignore that type of noise and just try to be whoever you can be as a guy, because Joe Burrow's 1-1. He's in the inner circle of elite quarterbacks in the NFL. It's a low percentage of guys that ever get to that in their careers. And so Mendoza being Joe Burrow, I don't necessarily see that right now, but that's the beauty of this whole process is we're going to watch the games on Thursday, Saturday, Sundays, and Mondays to find out.
I just know that he's a pretty smart dude. He's tough. He doesn't have the mobility that Burrow has.
Which Burrow doesn't have much. I actually think they're comparable.
Are they?
Yeah, I think
okay.
so.
Maybe he does.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm just thinking about his mobility in the pocket, but
because those are two different things, to your point. Yeah. They're absolutely two different things.
I think he's got below-average mobility in the pocket.
It's two different skill sets, so you're right about that. And so, yeah, I think Mendoza's going to be fine. I really do. If he doesn't,
he's proven to a lot of people. Yeah. Everyone's just still waiting to find something to say, now, this guy's not getting close to live up to it. And maybe it is the number one status that it's going to have a tough time living up to. But the team that gets put around him, I think he'll put the ball where his receivers can catch it. We've seen that.
Yeah.
That's where his – and that's where his real strength is finding a way to put that ball where only his receivers can get it. So he doesn't have the arm that Burrow has. Burrow's got a stronger arm, I think.
And I think that's okay, too, right? Because you can make up for it in other ways as a quarterback with your timing and your accuracy, too. So Mendoza, I think, has a chance to, early on, not be overwhelmed. Maybe the success won't be crazy because a lot of rookies, look, you're just going up against the best in the world. You're going to have to take it on the chin a few times. But we hear a lot about how these scouts and these GMs and these owners, they like to have guys that have played a decent amount. You know, in college, and he's played a lot of ball. He's had a lot of attempts at Cal and Indiana, and so maybe the game can be a little slower for him in time. When he gets out there to Las Vegas, they bought themselves a little bit of time, I think, in the form of Kirk Cousins yesterday. And so this doesn't need to be a rush thing, but going back to what I just mentioned, Mendoza may be able to pick things up fairly quickly in camp, and there's a chance he could just win the job right out of the gate.
He's taller than Burrow. A little heavier than Burrow.
What's Mendoza, 6'5", 6'4"?
He's 6'5", I think, is what they listed him at.
Okay.
About probably 235, and Burrow's what, about 220?
Yeah.
220, 221, whatever it takes.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Are you excited for this draft? Like, that when we get the draft day to sit down and watch it? Okay, I'm not there yet.
Because?
Maybe it's because...
lack of grade one quarterbacks?
That's probably it. That's probably it.
It's
not the sexiest. And look, these guys are all obviously really good players, but we're talking a lot of defensive players early and a running back and, you know, one quarterback. Like, I'm not juiced up right now, and that probably is going to change in 20 days or whatever it is. But right now, I'm like, okay.
I think the interest for me, and this just would make sense, is to see if the Buckeyes can all four go in the top 10. I think that's just absurd to think about. And then it's kind of bittersweet knowing that if you had four guys go in the top 10 and that team did not win a title, but
they didn't have, but
there was a special year for one special team and they lost to the two finalists, and where they were somewhat weak, those other teams were very strong.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the top 10 guys that you mentioned, we're not talking offensive linemen, right? We're not talking about those guys. And that was a part of the problem down the stretch.
So that's the interest. There's no interest in the top because you know Mendoza's going to the Raiders, but then it starts. Now, maybe it's – certainly we have the Browns picking where they're picking. If they keep the pick, it's 6. And I think maybe where you're going with this is there seems to be a pretty big spread in round one on talent versus depth and where it really is. Most of these names, I agree with you, don't leap off the page. Us in this draft.
I will say this, something that I'm very intrigued by outside of the prospects are the teams that have two first round picks. That's interesting to me, especially a team like Kansas City and what they're going to be able to do, because they've never thought in their minds in this window of time with Mahomes that they would be picking in the top 10. And now here they are. Then they make the trade with the Rams for McDuffie. They shoot them back a number one overall pick. Like that's scary season for, I think, a lot of AFC teams if they hit on them and if Mahomes comes back and he is who he is. But there's some intrigue there for me, AR. Browns, you know, Chiefs, these teams that have a couple ones.
Yeah.
See how they double dip and how they can maybe fast track themselves back into the championship inner circle, that being the Chiefs, or fast track their rebuilding process for some teams like the Browns or the Jets or whoever else it may be.
Dallas has what? Just the one?
I want
at 20.
Do they have two?
I don't think. Oh, no. They're picking 12 and 20. Yeah, so they do have two. When you said the teams have two, Dallas jumped to me.
They got Green Bay's.
Yep.
That's right.
Micah.
That's right.
Then it'll be very interesting to see if they turn Micah. That's pick 12?
Yeah.
It's so funny because they trade Micah to Green Bay to then acquire a former now Green Bay Packer pass rusher and Rashawn Gary. It's interesting, that world of how they're just kind of going back and forth. But no, you're right, AR, because we know Dallas is explosive on offense. Like, that's not the problem.
But he gets tempted.
Jerry?
Oh,
to take a playmaker?
Oh, yeah.
Get a third receiver in there. And just
Jerry likes the sexy toys. He does. I just think that would be really unnecessary. If I'm a Dallas fan, like, I want us to just be in on defense. Like, let's go with defense. We got the high-flying act. I think that box checked off already because they're picking
what
at...
What if all the defensive, the real high-end defensive guys are picked in the first 11 picks?
I just don't think... Okay, so are you going down the path of, hey, we've got Pickens on this tag.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we don't want to run it back with him for years and years if a Jordan Tyson, Mekhi Lemon falls
100%.
Us. I'm not mad at that.
Yeah.
I'm not mad at that.
Now, this is... I'm saying that... If Caleb doesn't drop to them, or
Sonny Styles,
or Bain somehow would get to them at 12, then all of a sudden, or Styles, then all of a sudden I could be tempted. But I'm going on the premise that all the guys, whether it's obviously Arvell, Sonny, Bailey, one of the corners, Bain, Caleb, if they're all gone in the first 11.
Mm-hmm.
And Dallas is sitting there, and there's Lemon. I wouldn't put it past him.
Yeah, no doubt.
All right, maybe we got ourselves excited a little bit for April 23rd. We're going to come back and toss some chin music with our guy, J-Lew, and get his feeling on the guards and the Reds and a lot more. That's in 2 minutes. Rothman.
Your child's oral health milestones matter. By age one, see a pediatric dentist to establish good oral health habits. At 7, see an orthodontist to check your child's bite, teeth, and jaws. Around 15, visit an oral and maxillofacial surgeon to have your child's wisdom teeth examined. Remember, milestones met, healthy teeth set. Visit milestonesmet.org.
We got a higher home appraisal after we put away our African art and family photos.
Has this happened to you because of race or national origin? Contact HUD at hud.gov/fairhousing. A message from HUD and the National Fair Housing Alliance.
Rossman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door showroom on Gemini Parkway. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Crowd the plate at your own risk. It's time for some chin music with former big leaguer and president of the Bald is Beautiful fan club, Jensen Lewis.
Sponsored by Logan AC and Heat Services. Feeling the heat? Call the experts at Logan Services now for hot deals on Trane air conditioners.
All right, let's toss a little chin music with our guy, Jensen Lewis, and we'll do a little namesake question to start the segment, my man. Have you ever overslept for a, I don't know what you would call it, even attending the ballpark, a player, you get to a point. Carter Jensen, Kansas City catcher, was scratched from the Royals lineup because he says he overslept. How did that hit you?
I've been there before, boys. That was my sophomore year at Vanderbilt, and I was the Friday night starter. We were due to leave for a nine-hour ride to Arkansas down to Fayetteville. And I think it was my junior year, put it that way. David Price was my roommate. He was a freshman at the time, and we kind of joked. We're like, hey, let's just sleep in the locker room. That way we don't have to worry about missing the bus. I'm like, yeah. You go ahead and do it. Well, he did it. I went back to the dorm, and I definitely set my alarm for an hour later than what I was supposed to. And so you want to talk about having the fear of God, because Tim Corbin, for anyone that knows him, is a stickler for time. And if you miss it, you're out. The bus is leaving. So my roommate, thank God he was with me there, too. I frantically just woke him up. Dude, I missed the bus. He goes, no, you didn't. He goes, oh, my God. Oh my God, you did. So we are just peeling down the highway trying to catch the bus. And you know that call's got to be made. So I call Price, and he's on the bus. And I said, you have to go tell Coach Corbin I missed the bus. He goes, come on, dude. Like, you're. And we took two sleeper buses. So he had to go up to the front of the bus and tell Corb, yeah, Jaylee's not here. So imagine me pulling into a truck stop where they got to pull the whole two sleeper buses over. The entire team is out. Because everyone thinks they're stopping to do like a bathroom break or catch some snacks. And no, it's to come pick up my dumbass who missed the bus. I to say the least, boys, I got absolutely shelled the next night in Fayetteville, and it's one of the greatest mound visits I can ever remember, because Corb had this look on his face, a little wry grin. I got through 2 2/3. He came out, and he goes, well, I guess I should have just left you in Nashville. So that's that.
Yeah. You know what? I didn't know that story. I'm thrilled that you told it. When Carter Jensen said, maybe just guys with Jensen that oversleep. When Carter Jensen said he overslept, I thought, all right, does oversleep mean equals hungover? Like, that's what I, like, what, the game wasn't at 9 a.m. Like, how did you oversleep? Like, that's the only thing that went in my mind is, I mean, you had a bus to catch. Like, this was a little odd for me when I heard that. And I, and Maddie knows this. I cut him off my fantasy team for it, so he paid for it.
Oh, hey, man. Listen, this is a no-tolerance fantasy
That's
policy.
Right.
I appreciate
no
that.
Doubt. No doubt. No doubt. Jay Lugo, good to hear from you as always, my man. Let's start down in Cincinnati, specifically with Nick Lodolo, right? Because Reds sent him down to get a, you know, a start to get him ramped back up to come back up to the big leagues. He's been dealing with this blister injury, and then last night we find out, well, he had a setback again with this blister stuff. How can you manage that as a training staff, as a player? Like, what can you do to get back in the mix quickly if there is an even if there is a way to get back quickly with that stuff?
Yeah, Matty, it's frustrating because everyone heals differently. And, you know, my former teammate Kerry Wood had an issue with blisters too. Now, part of that was he was cutting his cuticles a little too close, and he was kind of a finger biter too. So, you know, it was almost like we had to tape his fingers so that he wouldn't, you know, crush his hand so he had a chance to recover. My feeling, guys, is that where Lodolo's at, you'd rather have this happen now where you have a lot of time if they've got to tell him, like, hey, I mean, it's hard because you want to throw, you have that rub, you have that friction. It's not like, you know, you can throw with the other hand and say, okay, yeah, we're still going to be in shape here. So that's the delicate balance, is how much of the ramp up do you want to do from a throwing program, from a bullpen program, or do you really have to tell them, like, it's going to have to be 7 days, no throw. We're going to have your fingers in some pickle juice here and really let this thing heal up so that you get that extra layer of skin, guys, that's already set in, and then it allows you that friction, that ability for the body to recover. So that's where he's at right now. It's the speed of the recovery that I think is really influencing this continued re-injury.
Listen, the guards are starting out pretty good this year. I wouldn't expect a lot of teams to win a series in L.A. this year. They've already done that. The injury to DeLauter doesn't seem as serious as maybe they thought. Your initial impression of the guards?
I mean, they could not have caught Seattle and L.A. at a better time, guys. No one in the Mariners lineup sitting, and I think they did get out of town just in time because I'm seeing here in the Atlanta airport, the Dodgers have already put up 10
right
on the Nationals, now make it 11. So they might have gotten out of town just in time. I mean, but here, let's give credit where it's due. When you're able to limit, you know, Ohtani and Betts and Freeman, even Tucker, you know, the way that they did, you have to give that credit. And then Gavin Williams, guys, was absolutely sensational. That was a freight train coming after that Dodger lineup. So credit where it's due. This is the schedule. This is the time you got to play them. Take advantage of two lineups that were pretty downtrodden to start the year and pile up a couple of series victories with momentum headed into the home opener this afternoon.
So me personally, Jay Lou, I've enjoyed the ABS challenge system, watching these games and the catchers and the pitchers and, you know, the hitters having to make these split-second decisions, right? And so talk about your experience so far watching this and kind of what maybe you've learned about the ABS challenge system so far.
Maddie, first and foremost, two thumbs up from me. We are all about getting the calls right. I like the expediency. It does not really affect pace of play. So they've got that part pretty down pat. I think I'm a bit floored at how many challenges we have had thus far through a week's amount of games. I did not expect us to have the flurry of that. Now, is that a product of, hey, are the umpires gripping a little bit? Are they, you know, being a little more egregious and we'll kind of hone it in as we go? Are we really having an illumination of how ridiculously sharp some catchers are, hitters being able to recognize in the zone? A couple of my pitchers, Maddie, actually with a couple of big calls here. I think of the Helsley challenge in that series finale against the Twins back in their homestand. So I'm for it. I think our next data point, and perhaps we put a pin in this conversation for the middle of May, is once we get a pretty significant amount of games, 40 to 45 games, I'm really intrigued to see timing of when most challenges are used. Is it really just the catchers that are making the most amount of calls? And then how many teams are saving challenges, are having one for like the seventh inning and on? Because I'm wondering where strategy gets involved. You know, the analytics people are crunching the numbers, seeing when the optimal times are to use it. But I would say it's an A in my book for what you wanted to get out of it thus far, and then what the expediency of the timing to get the call and then return to action.
I'm kind of surprised that a former pitcher doesn't have a little more sympathy for the ump.
Well, listen, I didn't have a lot of strikes out of the zone, and if they did, then we had a conversation after the inning, and that pretty much buttoned it up there. So I wanted to get the hell out of there as fast as possible so I go watch my hitters hit.
Are you into, if you were managing a team right now, and certainly it's on the batters to do it, and they have only a certain amount of time to do it, but I think the Guardians were 2-for-12 in their challenges. Like, if you're their manager, are you like, all right, guys, I gave you some free will to decide, but we got to shoot better than this?
You know, I asked Walt Weiss about this a couple of days ago. It was on MLB Network Radio, and I asked him, did you kind of make a mandate as to who can and at what time? And he said, no, I don't want to really take it away so much so that we're kind of influencing when we can use it. He goes, you know, there are a couple of guys that pretty much have the green light because of they've earned that right. But that was my specific question, was do you want to know that you have at least one of them in the later innings just in case we get one of those situations where, ironically, the Braves were very aggressive in spring training. I mean, they were out of challenges for some spring training games by like the third inning. So I think it's unique to see what teams' philosophies are on it. And as far as the Guardians go, guys, voter might need to have a little sit down, a little fireside chat with some guys. Like, what are we doing here? Like, let's make sure we're using these smartly.
Absolutely. You know, one thing I find interesting in the world of baseball, Jay Lou, is teams that hand certain players pretty significant money prior to them really doing anything in the show, right? Like, yeah. The Mariners have just done that. The Brewers have done that. There was a lot made of the Ozzy Albies and Acuna deals back in the day. So, like, how do you feel about that? These teams offering prospects $80, $90 million before they even suited up in the show.
Yeah, I think the one that hits home for me, Matty, is you remember when Evan Longoria had, what, 6 or 7 days of big league time, and they gave him the big extension. We all know how that worked out. The most recent one, of course, Jackson Churio, you know, with the Milwaukee Brewers, it seems early on that could be an absolute bargain. Acuna is probably the best example of little to no service time. The Connor Griffin extension, fellas, and then the Roman Anthony one is going to be the two that I think we circle and we kind of track now in the first 2 to 3 years of does it make sense, and what would the economic impact have been had the player said, you know what, I'm going to bet on myself for the first couple of years, I'm going to get the arbitration. It's hard, though, when you're 19 years old and someone offers you $140 million. I don't care if you're drawing comparisons to Alex Rodriguez or Bryce Harper. You know, that's nine figures there in your bank account that you don't have to worry about doing anything else except going playing the game that you love.
Good job, my man. Who you got in the final four?
Michelle is who we're rooting for, boys. She has UConn over Michigan. I had 3 of the 4. I had Illinois, I had Michigan and Arizona. I picked Michigan over Duke, and I think I told you guys, very awkward rooting for that team up north. This is purely for bragging rights and pool play. But for payouts, I think we're kind of hoping Illinois gets through, and that maximizes the ROI.
Well done, my man. Have a great weekend, brother. Talk soon.
You got it. You bet, boys. Talk to you.
That's our guy, Jensen Lewis. A little chin music here on the Bryant Heating Cooling Systems bullpen phone line. We come back with Tell the Truth, Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
The sound of Paul Keels calling a Buckeye game is erotic.
Oh, yes.
Your home of the Buckeyes, the Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Mortgage rates.
Your morning knowing anything is possible. Because if these guys are hosting a radio show, imagine the possibilities. T-Bone and Tybus.
Weekday mornings from 6 to 9.
Your home for football, food, and fun. The
Fan. When you saw a thing or two about the moments in life that matter, you've seized those moments to embrace joy.
accomplish great things, and build meaningful relationships. Is it time now to sit back and reflect on a life well lived? Maybe. Or maybe there's more to be done. Maybe this is the most important moment you've encountered yet. By volunteering with AmeriCorps Seniors, you can seize the moment, lend a hand, and get back more than you give. We connect you to local volunteer organizations with opportunities that fit your schedule and match your interests. Through AmeriCorps Seniors, you can support people in times of need and make your community stronger. You can become a companion to your older neighbors, brightening their days with friendship. You can even become a mentor for young people, serving as a role model and enriching their lives. Are you ready to seize your moment? Visit AmeriCorps.gov/your moment and get started today.
All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Tell the truth with Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by McDaniel GM Superstore. Driving excellence since 1990.